much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This is not a test. No, no, no.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What about the dogs? What about the dogs?
Oh, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the wolf in the hunt.
That was Levi and the Leavings, featuring Gösta Sundqvist. And I wonder if he makes any of that Sundqvist orange soda. And speaking of soda, I wish I had some cherry vanilla Coke. Why don't they make that anymore? Why doesn't Finland have more 7-Elevens? Coming up next, the new rap from Buzz Aldrin.
Energy. I tell a story about my time on the moon now. The sky was black even though the sun shined on.
And now.
What a douche.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, I think we might.
I think we might need to hear that whole rap.
Yeah.
Oh, it's sad. It's very
Buzz
sad.
Aldrin rapping.
I didn't think he could do anything to diminish his legacy as being the second man on the moon, but I'm afraid we may have to erase him from the history books as a result of that.
Wow. Round. See, we didn't think he would respond that way. We heard it in the office. Mm-hmm. I don't know, whenever it came out, you know, at first, we were like, oh, no, Bean's going to insist we play this. But now that I hear a little bit more of it, I insist we play it.
It's terrible, though.
Right.
That's the point.
Just a dude that went to the moon, and now he's rapping about it at age 78? How old is he?
105.
Yeah, about 78, yeah. Now I want to punch him in the face when I see him on the street instead of the other way around.
Buzz Aldrin is so gangster.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but hey, real quick before we get to your telephone calls, 1-800-520-1067. We already have some good calls on the line. You get on the air, you get a prize. And gee, I wonder why so many people are calling today after they heard what the prize was yesterday. We got an email from a listener, and I know we're talking about that Obsessed TV show next hour.
Right.
Who's got the OCD. Real quick, when I was 13 years old, my mom told my sisters and me that she and my dad were going to separate. This news came as a big surprise and shook my world up. As a result, I developed a form of OCD. Remember when we had this conversation the other day and they talked about how you sometimes get it from some traumatic event in your life? You're fine, and then something happens, and then you're not.
Seems like that right? happens a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I began identifying people as numbers. I would take the first letter of their first name and match it with the number that it was in the alphabet. For instance, my parents' names both started with J, which was the 10th letter of the alphabet, so I thought that by adding my parents' numbers together, 10 plus 10 equals 20, I could somehow get them to make up. So I began to do a lot of things 20 times and glorifying the number 20. I chewed my food 20 times, said love-related words 20 times, drew the letter J, and touched my pencil to it 20 times. Sure enough, my parents worked out their problems and decided to stay together. And then she goes on and on and on to talk about how, you know, it continued to affect her life and different things would happen and she would have to adjust accordingly. And then what happened if she didn't, and the time and the pressure and everything that worked in, and then the therapy. I mean, the email, you can tell she's got OCD by the email.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on and on. But can you imagine something like that happening to you where all of a sudden you had to do everything 20 times?
How come it doesn't stop when they get back together? That's mission accomplished. So
because
don't have to
like
do it
with,
anymore.
Just like with sports superstition, she felt like she had to keep doing it in order to keep them together.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure on somebody to chew their food 20 times, for God's sakes.
And then but she it's started, eggs.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
It's Jell-O.
She wished so much her parents' names were Alan and Ann, by the way, at that point, I'm sure.
Sure, yeah.
But then she started going to a therapist who started trying to get her to stop doing stuff, and then she would relate if something bad happened, then that somehow would be as a result of her not doing what she was used to doing. So it was an endless nightmare.
Do people get cured of this? Or
I think
do
it's
they
possible.
Just learn to deal with
no,
it?
No, I think it's possible, but I don't know.
Yeah.
They talk about it on the show, like they go to therapists. They give them
progress.
Some. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so, good.
I think so.
Well, I'm looking forward to that conversation next hour with the people who do that Obsessed TV show, because I'm sure they've encountered a lot of folks just like this one who sent the email, and worse.
All right, type for your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. For Kevin and Beans, what it do, nephew?
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
How about a pair of tickets to the Epicenter 09 concert presented by Rogue? It's at the Pomona Fairplex. It is this Saturday. You got your Linkin Park, you got your Tool, Alice in Chains, Wolf Mother, Hollywood Undead, Atreyu, and more. That's the prize for being on the air for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
All right, let's begin with Jennifer this morning. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What it do?
I just called in. I had a story. A while back, you guys had a whole morning where you were talking about, you know, the service industry and how not to mess with your waiters because the things that they'll do to your
right.
food.
Waiters can get you back in ways you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's really scary. I was actually a waitress for 14 years, and I heard stories, but I never actually had a firsthand experience. You know, people always talk, you know, and I worked in Chicago, so everybody in Chicago, you know, in the restaurant industry, you go to the same bars after work, everybody talks, everybody knows everybody.
Right.
And I had a friend that worked for Morton Steakhouse out there. And, you know, everybody knows that one customer that comes in and he kind of belittles the whole staff.
Sure.
He's never satisfied. He walks in the door. You're like, oh, no, who's going to get that guy?
Sure.
Well, he would always request my friend. And he always referred to him never by name, but always by boy. And his manager never stuck up for him, never said, like, hey, you know, you can't talk to our employees like that. And one day he would always complain about the steak, no matter, you know, who complains at Morton's? It's like the
right.
best steak.
Turns out they're a pretty good restaurant with that.
Exactly. That's their whole reputation. So anyway, one day he just couldn't take it anymore. And, you know, Chicago's really cold. Everybody there, it's a smoking town. You know, everybody smokes. And they had a back alley area where all those servers would go on their breaks to have a quick smoke.
Right.
So he took his plate back there, threw the steak on the ground, had the waiters kick it through the ashes, shook it off, took it back to the kitchen, had him throw some au jus sauce over the top, served it right back to him.
Very
that
nice.
Was the one time that the guy said that it was the best steak he'd ever had.
What?
Awesome. So then he had to do that to his steak every time he came in.
I know, exactly. And he said, you know, he said he didn't feel, my friend was, you know, a really, he had a good ethics, good morals, but he said he did not feel one bit badly about it. He said the guy totally had it coming.
No, it'd be by the way, it would be a bummer if you went to all that trouble and then he loved it. That's not the idea. You don't want him to love it.
Oh, that's true. But it still gave him some satisfaction
sure.
knowing he's eating everybody's cigarette ashes.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I'm never eating out again.
Yeah, no, I'm very critical when I go out. I always tell my husband, you know, no matter how bad the service is, keep your mouth shut. You know, we just won't leave the best tip, but just keep your mouth shut.
Just smile, and then we can move on.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer, for the call. We appreciate it. Let's see here. Let's go to Mark. Hey, Mark, what did you do?
What did you do? How are you guys this morning?
We're good.
Good.
What's going on?
Just calling to let you know about a preseason Kings game coming up in Ontario at the Citizens Business Bank Arena. It's going to be on September 17th, and they'll be playing the Sharks.
That's what I'm talking about. Hockey is just around the corner.
Wow, really?
Yes, it is.
It's here.
Usually it's the Frozen Fury that they play in Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
which I'm going to, had to kick off the season. But this sounds like it's going to be a little bit earlier, so fantastic.
Awesome.
I'm in. Good tip. Yeah. Thank you. I just wanted to talk about the Kings. That's all there. Haven't got to in a long time. Let's
Don't
go to Ray. Hello, Ray.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Ray?
What it do?
All right, I got in trouble yesterday. I was online, and my wife came home from work, and I guess she thought I was looking at porn, and I was on a Hot Six eating tacos, and I happened to be looking for Lisa. And she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm looking up Lisa May from K-Rock. Check it out." No. How about you leave and you go to Lisa's house and let her? Yeah.
What?
She tried to kick me out.
But there's no,
it's so
there's
not
no
porn.
Nudity or anything. Yeah.
That's the problem. You tell that to an insecure girl.
But you can show her there's no porn on
you
there.
You were just looking, right?
That's, yeah, but... That's
both about, hands you know on the keyboard?
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah.
Did you have both hands on the keyboard?
Yeah. Well, I had my hand on the mouse, so if you know what I mean.
All right, I see.
Yeah, that's what you call it. Okay.
Well, Lisa's door is open, figuratively.
That's for sure. Yeah. You know what we mean. All right.
Thank you for the call.
Hot Chicks Eating Tacos, outstanding site. We recommend it, by the way.
That is good. Let's see here. Let's go to Gus. Find out what's going on with him. Hey, Gus, what'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do, nephew? What up, baby boo?
What'd it do, Gus?
What's going on?
I was just wondering if you guys heard of that new gang that's spreading all over USA called Straight Line. They're like the modern day Robin Hood.
No.
Straight Line?
Yeah, I was on National Geographic the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It's spreading all over the U.S., big in Utah.
What do they do?
What they're doing is they're beating up the drug dealers, taking their money. And giving it to the poor and doing that kind of stuff.
Interesting.
Really?
Yeah. So they zero in on the people that are selling drugs and make them their targets.
Exactly. But what's going on now also is the gang is like pretty, because some of them want to go the evil way and start going to parties and getting in fights at parties and stuff like that. But what they're like, what they're doing now is they're trying to go the straight way and get rid of the drug dealers and
right.
all the and you know all the evil stuff that goes along.
Vigilante justice.
I like it.
Return.
I like it.
All right, thanks for the call.
It's always good. There's nothing can go wrong with that.
No, I think that's a. I think in general, that's a good policy is to take the law in your own hands. Is you
yes.
decide who's guilty and for what, and then you dish out the punishment.
Finally, Bean's coming away to my way of thinking.
I don't see any reason to leave that in the hands of professionals.
Right.
Hey, do we have time to squeeze in Joel? He's on line 7. I'm dying to know how much.
Hey, Joel, how much?
I was $140 you found on the freeway.
$140 you found just in, what, $20 bills on the freeway?
No, one was 100, the other two were 20s. We were pulling up on the on-ramp, and we thought an accident happened because, you know, the whole freeway stopped right in front of us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. People were running around like crazy on the freeway. My wife says, hey, I think it's money, and she sees, like, a wad of it blowing behind us, and she goes, stop, 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 and on the right-hand side of us was a $100 bill. She jumped out, and there was like nine or ten cars stopped, and there was kids running around. The whole freeway was stopped.
Oh, my God.
It was a trip, dude.
But it wasn't an accident that started it. It was the money? Everyone stopped for the money?
Exactly. I don't know. There was at least over 100 bills on the ground because there was a guy in front of me that picked up about 5 bills before I realized what it was.
Wow.
I don't know. It must have been a couple $1,000 because there were people everywhere running around on the first two lanes on the freeway.
Oh, Lisa, did you hear anything about a bank truck or something like that? That's wild.
Maybe it was those the straight edge justice people that beat up some drug dealers and then just go out onto the two
exactly.
tickets. Woo! Make it rain.
Well, I was thinking as Joel was telling a story, thank God Gus wasn't there because Gus would have attacked him and beat him to a pulp for picking up that money somehow.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, I know. I got lucky. That's why I ran as soon as I grabbed only 100 and was out of there.
Nicely done.
Yeah, I just found the story and it says the Highway Patrol was chasing. I can't tell if they were chasing this guy or they said he was just emotionally disturbed. By throwing money onto the 210 near Grand Avenue, about 10 people, that would be you, pulled over to pick up the bills. And then later, he tossed money walking into the Azusa Police Department and told officers he wanted to commit suicide.
What? Do you think it was a way for him to try and block the police behind him if people came to a stop?
Well, it didn't say they were chasing him.
Huh.
He's just crazy.
Just throwing out money. Wow.
Well, good for you.
How about that? Wow, I wish I was following him.
That's what he was doing.
Making
rain on his
hose,
I guess.
Nice.
That's right. All right. Great calls. It's amazing. You throw some Lincoln Park tickets your way. The stories that people will come up with to get on the air. So we'll have more for you at this time tomorrow.
DJ Omar Khan was DJing a wedding over the weekend. Not a wedding, a party over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And he brought a friend, and the friend ended up really screwing up the party. That happens every once in a while. You know how you go to a party, you're invited, so you bring someone, and they're the one that causes all the trouble?
We've had singles parties like that.
Very much so,
a really cool person comes and brings a friend who doesn't get it.
And doesn't want to.
Yes. Yeah.
So what did Omar's friend do?
Well, ended up naked in a bedroom, if I could just say that. So that was good.
DJ Omar Khan. Was she at least cute?
I don't know. We'll find out when we talk to him about that. Bob Dylan got pulled over for being white, and I find it very funny that the police did not recognize him, as he's been, you know, famous for his whole life.
Yeah.
Since the 60s, Bean?
Yes, very early 60s.
Early
he's been
60s.
An incredibly famous person since about 1961, but in the officer's defense, and I can't wait to hear the story, he does look like a homeless guy.
He does. And he was walking through a bad neighborhood with a hoodie on, and they pulled him over. They asked him for ID, and he said he didn't have any. And so they put him in the car and took him back someplace that he could verify who he was.
How weird would it be if you're in the house and you look out, you see Bob Dylan out there in his hoodie in the pouring rain standing looking at your house?
I think that would freak me out. He's a scary-looking mofo now.
Even if I knew it was Bob Dylan. I mean, what's he doing
More
out there?
More if I knew it was Bob Dylan.
Yeah, it's even weirder that it is Bob Dylan standing in your yard. What's up with that?
So that's nutty. We're going to tell you, like Bean said, we're going to talk about casting Obsessed for A&E.
Okay.
Got that for you today. Dick Cheney and George Bush apparently are now at war with each other.
Wow.
Uh-oh. All the niceties of being in office are passed, and we're finding out that they did not get along very well.
Huh.
And by the way, I'm excited by this, and it's very common for a vice president after the term to go, wow, I had to do things I didn't want to do, but that's your job as the vice president, is to get out there and push whatever the president wants you to do. Al Gore and Bill Clinton famously did not get along. You wouldn't know it at the time that they were in office together, but afterwards you realize, you know, they're two guys with separate opinions, and sometimes they want to go in separate directions and can't because the president leads.
Yeah, and one guy wins and one loses.
That's right.
We also have Jerry Cantrell. I don't know if you heard, but late in the show yesterday, we talked to the guitarist and singer for Alice in Chains.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is he, by the way?
The best.
Super nice dude, right?
Got some highlights of that coming up for you. And Sharon Osbourne will be on the program today. Sharon Osbourne.
She's good.
One of the judges on America absolutely does not have very much talent, that show. So we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. And again, this morning we have tickets for that Epicenter 09 show presented by Rogue this weekend. Linkin Park, Tool, Alice in Chains, Wolf Mother. The return of Wolf Mother, by the way. Remember how much we like those guys?
Yeah.
That lead singer with the afro?
Yeah.
Not actual wolves.
Oh, sorry. I think he fired almost everyone in the band, by the way.
He
owned the name, so I think it is still Wolf Mother. But anyway, your ticket's coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right, Wolf, right?
Wolf.
Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, another day, another celebrity sex scandal. This time it's Eric Dane, who of course plays Dr. McSteamy over there in Grey's Anatomy, and his wife, Rebecca Gayhart, an actress and really bad driver in her own right. And a longtime Miss Teen USA, who has since become a madam and a prostitute.
Yeah. Really?
And okay. Yes. Three of them together in a sex tape.
Wow.
That has hit the internet. Interesting story behind it. If you've seen it, and I have, it is the most boring sex tape you've ever seen. It's the three of them basically getting high, naked, talking a lot, and very little sex involved. In fact, Carrie Ann Paniche, the former Miss USA, says there was absolutely no sex involved. They just played nude together, mostly while Eric shot some footage. However, you do get to see Dr. McSteamy's McPenis if you're interested, ladies. You may want to check it out. There are several stories about how the tape surfaced on the internet. Carrie Ann Paniche says that the video was stored on the hard drive of her computer, but it was stolen by Mindy McCready.
Who's that?
Mindy McCready
is a country singer who was her roommate on Celebrity Rehab. Carrie Ann says she got into an argument with McCready over money and believes the singer took her hard drive when she moved out. Carrie Ann freaked out about it, filed a stolen property report with the LAPD. Last month there was a summit, says Carrie Ann, between herself, Eric, Rebecca, and Mindy. And apparently a deal was hammered out as to who got what was on the hard drive. Eric got full rights to the video, and everyone assumed that was that until the tape surfaced on the internet yesterday. So,
wow.
Hmm.
Now, I heard that the tape came up as a result of the investigation into her prostitution business, that somehow the government got a hold of it, but that wouldn't explain how it got leaked unless there was just some rogue agent somewhere in the investigation.
Yeah,
but this whole story is crazy.
There is another story claiming that because she is the subject of a sex-for-hire investigation, that the footage somehow is leaked by some, you know, police organization.
Right. Yeah.
But this is Carrie Ann's side of the story, according to TMZ. So take it for what you're worth. But really, it's a pretty lackluster celebrity.
Yeah, you hear about a threesome with Rebecca Gayhart, and you go, yeah. And then you watch it, and you go, no.
Not much of a prostitute, either. There's no sex going on.
Yeah, no word whether they were friends or what the connection was, but it doesn't seem as if they hired her to have sex with them. And I think part of the problem is Rebecca Gayhart is so high in the video that she couldn't have sex if she wanted to. She says at one point, I am so high, I have to lay down. And she does. Sounds like Kevin, pretty much.
I just wish Hasselhoff had been there in the room. That would have been the best.
Robin Wright Penn, wife of super actor Sean Penn, has said as of yesterday that she has no intention of getting back together with her on-again, off-again husband.
I thought they were on again.
No. She says they have no plans to reconcile.
He doesn't seem like a party.
He's got to be tough, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
She says they have no regrets about their relationship. She's grateful to have two beautiful children with Sean, but it just looks like the relationship is no longer viable for either of them, and they're just going to stay separate. So now you know.
Okay.
And knowing's half the battle.
I hear that.
I always say. Ashley Simpson-Wentz just seems like a bitch.
Why?
Doesn't she, though? Just seem like a bitch?
She seems lame to me, but
yeah,
I don't get...
Yeah, I get more lame than bitch.
She, of course, she's married to Pete Wentz, a Fallout Boy.
Ooh.
And recently, they were celebrating their one-year anniversary at a place called the Angels and Demons in Chicago, when apparently Ashley got completely wasted, according to onlookers, and started a fight in front of all of their guests, screaming at him, demanding that Pete leave with her immediately. Apparently, they did leave the club, and Ashley started screaming at someone who took their picture while they left the club, demanding that they delete the images from their camera, and it was just a big nightmare.
Oh, bitch, you got jacked, bitch.
Yeah. She just seems like hell on wheels.
Who are... How does it occur to people that get their picture taken that they can make the people...
Give those up? Yeah.
I mean, I would never think of
them. Don't you know who they are?
Doesn't matter. If somebody took a...
She's Ashley Simpson Wentz.
Right, but
and?
Where do they teach them that they can make pictures go away if they want?
She rules you.
All right. Didn't know that.
Speaking of the Simpson family, Joe Simpson is reportedly trying to pimp out his daughter once again, Jessica this time around, to be Paula Abdul's replacement on American Idol.
Yes.
He sees an opportunity. He sees an opportunity, and he's going to seize it.
Yes.
She's got the same qualifications as Paula to be on that show.
New York Post says that the manager/father of Jessica is lobbying with producers to give her a shot at being a judge on the show. And no word yet whether they're responding or not.
Because,
you know,
awesome.
they're doing a lot of guest celebrity fourth judges this year.
Yeah.
Mary J. Blige is joining Randy Simon and Cara DiGuardia in Atlanta this week. Victoria Beckham has already done it, and Shania Twain reportedly is going to do the Chicago auditions. So I guess they are taking a look around for the possibility of at least another fourth judge. But Jessica Simpson?
Think about Jessica. I mean, she's every bit as dumb as Paula, every bit as loopy, every bit as horrible a singer. I mean, she really is the most like Paula, if you're looking for that.
And better cans.
True.
So that going for
I'm sure American Idol is looking for another Paula.
Another bad
Probably
element.
Glad to unload.
Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian Andy Samberg from Saturday Night Live is 31 years old today. Actor Edward Norton celebrates his 40th birthday. Master Killer from Wu-Tang Clan is 40 years old. Christian Slater celebrates his 40th birthday as well. Everlast turns 40. Madeline Stowe, very talented actress, is 51. Dennis Leary, for you Rescue Me fans, he is 52 years old. Patrick Swayze, still hanging in there at 57.
Good for
Mother
him.
Mother effer.
Good for him.
And legendary movie star Robert Redford celebrates his 73rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to talk to the guy behind the casting for the show Obsessed here in a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's the one that features all the poor people with the OCDs, which sounds like fun until you get it. And then it's not fun anymore. So we'll hear about that. I'll be honest with you. I don't miss President Bush much. But I do miss Dick Cheney, one of the most entertaining people in the world. And you don't hear or see very much about the former vice president anymore.
And now he's writing some memoirs, and some of the details are leaking out. Mm-hmm. And he is talking smack about George W. Bush. He's not happy that George W. Bush didn't pay enough attention to Dick Cheney. Like, wasn't Dick Cheney considered the most powerful vice president of all time?
Yeah.
He was the puppet master, right. And then apparently, according to what we'll find out in the book, apparently at some point in the second term, the president started to get some of his own ideas, started to react to public pressure and kind of changed his mind on some things separate from the vice president. And Dick didn't like that.
No, he did not.
Dick.
So?
How are you, Mr. Vice President? Great to talk to you again, sir.
Yeah, great to talk to you, too.
So you're writing a book. How come?
Well, I just think it's important for America to know what actually happened.
Right.
Behind the closed doors in the White House.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, well, it's commonly understood by most people that you were the one pretty much running the country for those 8 years.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of everybody's guess. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Well, stop guessing.
Okay. All right.
Asshole.
All right. Well, just then tell us.
President Bush was the president of the United States.
Right.
Yeah.
I was simply the vice president, just giving my advice when it was asked for, doing the best, try to guide him, and, you know.
That's all? That was your only role?
Torturing people.
I'm sorry?
And, you know, looking at policy.
You said torturing people.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought.
What are you doing now? Why are you shooting a weapon?
Why do you have a shotgun?
What?
I always have a shotgun.
Just in case.
Just in case. In case I hear a question I don't like, and I can drown you out.
All right.
See? Like that.
Right. Mr. Vice President, it has been suggested in some of the material we've read about your upcoming book that the president took your advice a lot at the beginning, and then when the policies weren't that popular or when perhaps some of them didn't seem to be working, then he decided, as any smart man would do, hey, let's change it up. Let's try something different. What?
You said Bush and smart man in the same sentence. I haven't laughed in 20 years.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Apparently, your policy is never apologize, never explain, and always just stick to the plan, whether it works or not, right?
That's right. And George would not listen to me towards the end of his tenure as president, and I thought that was a huge mistake.
Let's talk about torture for a second. One of the things that you're going to mention is that he moved away from your position on waterboarding, CIA secret prisons, and other things like that because of public policy.
Yeah.
And your advice to him was let it rip, just torture away?
Well, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, there's a war on terror.
Right.
And you can't afford to be soft.
Right.
So you have to extract information in any way you can. And mm-hmm. George Bush was all, I feel bad. I shouldn't be torturing. And I said, grow a pair.
I think that's how most of America felt, by the way.
Well, most of America was wrong,
okay.
And I was right.
All right.
So the president went soft, you stayed hard.
Exactly.
All right.
In spite of heart trouble, I'm impressed.
That is so bad.
Yeah, they got pills now.
Yeah, that's true.
What about regime change in North Korea and Iran? You wanted him to push that?
Yeah, we needed new leaders in North Korea and Iran. We needed to send in some black ops, take them out.
Because it worked.
Put in some puppet dictators, and George Bush was like, oh, no, they should be elected. Democracy, blah, blah, blah.
But you can't, the policy of the country can't just be assassinate all the leaders around the world that you don't agree with, Mr.
Oh,
President.
You're so naive. This is a guy who couldn't navigate his way around a pretzel. And he's trying to tell me about foreign policy.
That's true. But what you don't care that the most of the nation disagrees with you. That they were on the side of not torturing.
I give America what it needs, not what it wants.
I see.
Okay. Now, would you say that you and the president were friendly at the end? Are you staying in touch with him? Would you guys have a friendly relationship now even?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I plan to take him hunting sometime next week.
Oh,
okay.
Really?
That's no good.
Yeah.
Practicing my hunting now.
Wow.
Yeah.
You reload fast.
That's what she said.
First of all, let's talk to Rob LaPlante. Hello, Rob.
How are you?
Rob, the creator, executive producer of Obsessed on A&E.
How you doing today?
Very well. Thank you. You?
Very well.
This show has really captured our listeners' attentions. We got so many people that know we're into stuff like this who emailed and called us and said, oh, my God, did you see some of the people they're talking about? Has there been an OCD show before yours?
Not that I know of. I mean, I think there's been a few documentary type things out in the world that have talked about the problem, but addressing it from the therapeutic angle and really watching as people try to fight against what's going on in their mind is the difference between this show and everything else.
We'll talk about the therapeutic angle in just a second, but first, explain to people the normal type person that you put on the show. What do they do?
Basically, the show depicts people that have severe OCD. Basically, whether it's ritualistic behaviors like repetitive checking or germophobia or hoarding or any and all of the different kinds of anxiety disorders that manifest with OCD, we depict them and we basically show how they are affecting someone's life when it's severe. Basically, their relationships are falling apart. They can't have the kind of job and the happiness they're looking for in their life.
And is that, I mean, are we getting into an area of mental illness, Rob? Is that what OCD is, or is it something less than that?
It's definitely a mental illness. It's actually one of the most predominant, you know, sort of mental disorders that exist on that sort of spectrum that is mental illness.
Because they only really annoy themselves or people closest to them, so I imagine everybody just goes, oh, well.
Right.
Absolutely.
Too bad for you.
Most common thing that I hear from people all the time is, I've been suffering from this for years, and I don't tell anyone, and nobody knows it, and it's my secret nightmare.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Now, the thing that's been really fascinating for me to learn about OCD, especially since we've talked about your show a lot in the last few weeks, is that you can be completely quote-unquote normal, and then there'll be some traumatic event in your life that will cause OCD. And I don't understand the relationship. Like, how is a car accident or a divorce or a parent's death, how does that affect the brain to all of a sudden where you have to start doing crazy stuff?
Everything with OCD is related to anxiety. It is an anxiety disorder. Basically, people do these repetitive actions as a response to anxiety. It's like a temporary relief. So if a traumatic event happens in somebody's life, it sort of is an anxiety burst. It sets it off on a level that's really high, and their compulsions, the things that temporarily relieve that anxiety, go into a really high rate, and then that's when it gets out of control.
So there was one thing where a guy, for example, would keep everything that came to the house because he was afraid, you know, a part of his mom who had passed away, this somehow related, and he wouldn't get rid of anything.
Absolutely. Like, Richie was a hoarder. There are people who compulsively keep things. And he was very close to his mother. And again, a traumatic event like that, he was so close to his mother, set it off where he now couldn't get rid of anything. And then it started to stack up to the ceiling.
Rob, the problem with this show, if I could be so bold, is sometimes it's a bit of a downer. So when that guy's telling the story about his mom passing away, you know, and he's got to do these certain things, you need a good old sitcom laugh track. Like that. It's a little something to lighten the mood.
We'll take that into consideration for season two.
All right, good.
There are no shortage of folks with OCD, I imagine. How's the casting going for season two?
It's going great, but that's part of the reason why I wanted to get on with you guys. You guys are so cool about talking about the show so much. I wanted to let people know that we're looking for people to be on season two. And if you know somebody that's suffering or you are that person, then this would be a great way to get some free therapy.
How bad do they have to be? Because we talked to a K-Rock listener at our singles party on Friday night, and he said that he has to roll around in bed counterclockwise three times before he can go to sleep. But that's pretty much all he did.
Yeah, I'd say, again, everybody's got a little bit of this, and that's why I think people relate to the show so much. It's like, some people keep their desk really straight, their closet really straight, they don't like germs a little bit. I mean, definitely, the people that qualify this show are the ones that it's severely affecting their life.
that doesn't
just
help.
A little of that, I think, will lighten everything right up.
By the way, if you're interested in being on the show, A&E's website, aetv.com, you can go to the Obsessed section and you'll find a place that you can apply online. Let's talk about the therapy for just a second here because, for instance, what was her name? Trina, I think, is the one who all of a sudden out of nowhere started developing this terrible fear that she was going to end up going on a shooting spree. Do I have that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So what do you do with... No. What do you do with somebody like that? She's not a violent person. She doesn't have a gun. She's not. She's never hurt anyone. But all of a sudden, she gets in her head, oh, my God, what if I'm capable of going on one of these shooting sprees? How do you even begin to treat something like that, Rob?
Well, the treatment is called exposure and response prevention. And basically, what you see on the show is the therapists, you know, expose the patient to the source of the anxiety, the thing that is creating OCD. So in her case, she had this thought that she was going to kill someone, and she couldn't stop it. That was her compulsion. She couldn't stop killing someone.
No.
Making me laugh now. So Trina, the way to expose Trina to that feeling and that thought was to have her hold a knife to her therapist's throat and basically put her up against the thought. If you think you're going to kill someone, well, let's see it happen. And that way, by exposing her, she realized it was just a thought and it wasn't an actual thing that was going to happen.
What would you have done?
A real knife?
What would you have done if she went, finally, I got to kill my therapist?
The therapists beforehand, and they will tell you very confidently that the people that have these anxiety disorders are the least likely people that would ever kill someone.
Oh, I see.
The thoughts would stop them from ever actually going through with it.
The human brain is something that I don't care if a man's on this earth for a million years, they'll never fully unlock all of its secrets. I mean, it's just crazy to see the stuff that happens, and I can't believe there hadn't been a show like yours until now, but it is great, Rob, and I hope it's on for many, many seasons to come.
Absolutely, and my secret mission on this call is to get Kevin on the show, because from what I understand, he's well qualified.
He's definitely well qualified. You can go to the A&E website, aetv.com/obsessed. participate. That's where you want to go if you want to apply. And we have that information for you here on the Kevin Bean Show, too.
Rob, do you get people that apply like 7 times a day and they have to apply and apply and apply? And you go, no, we can't have you.
It has happened.
All right. Best of luck, Rob. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here to answer the question, what about the dogs? What about the dogs?
What about the dogs?
What about the dogs? What about the dogs?
What about the dogs?
Eric Dane, McSteamy from Grey's Anatomy, and his wife, Rebecca Gayhart. Probably know her from the Noxzema commercials and from TV and movies. And Carrie and Paniche. Paniche is French for your unit, isn't it?
Would you please touch my paniche?
I don't think so.
Oh. Apparently they had a little three-way fun and someone busted out the old video camera.
Good.
A penis.
Good thinking.
And now it's on the internets. And no one seems too happy about it. Here's the thing about Carrie Ann Paniche. She went from being Miss Teen USA to becoming a madam and some would say prostitute. Sex for hire was her game. And now the three of them appear in this video together, leading speculation as to whether Eric and Rebecca hired her or whether they're just pals. Anyway, everyone is claiming there was no actual sex during their encounter, just some good old-fashioned naked pot-smoking fun.
My crotch really, really loves it.
Yeah, mine does too.
Now, Ralph, you've been involved in every combination of people in a room.
Yes, I have.
How likely is this story that you get naked, hang around on the bed, the girls take a bath together, but there doesn't end up being any sex? That's the extent of how far it goes.
Given the amount of pot they seem to be smoking,
how
there's
high
an excellent
they?
Chance that no one ever bothered to get around to having the sex, either because they forgot or they already thought they had sex.
I mean, I don't care. I'm not saying it's good. Either way, it doesn't matter to me. I was just wondering if they're saying that to cover themselves, but it's not really true.
Well, I've seen the 14 minutes of footage, and there's no sex in that, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But you do get to see McSteamy's McUnit, so for you ladies, it might be something you want to check out. And of course, lawyers are already over it. Marty Singer, who is the lawyer for Eric and Rebecca, says they will sue anyone who has the audacity to publish the private confidential tape. Gawker.com, you can find it.
Girl, you got to keep your clothes on, girl!
Oh, that Dane Cook, isn't he funny with those voices he does?
Sure.
Michael Jackson's being thawed out.
What?
And will be buried on his birthday, according to the New York Daily News.
They're not really going to thaw him out, though, are they?
Don't he's in a freezer right now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, eventually he'll thaw out, unless they put him in
a freezer
frozen
ground.
Casket, yeah. Joe Jackson, his father, has told the New York Daily News that Michael will be laid to rest at Forest Lawn Memorial Park in the Hollywood Hills on August the 29th. That would have been his 51st birthday. It'll be 9 weeks after he died of cardiac arrest.
That's a long time, considering most people is 2 days.
Yeah, but there's a lot of investigating going on.
Yeah.
They got Andy and Barney and the rest of the Mayberry PD out there figuring out what's happening.
Yes, they do.
We'll have to wait and see. Do you believe in God?
Are you looking for an answer?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Katy Perry does. She tells the London Sun that when she was 9 years old, she started praying to God for breasts so big she couldn't see her feet.
God answers those prayers.
That was her prayer.
Well.
And eventually, her wish was granted, not to the extent that she asked for, but still, they're healthy.
Pretty close.
She credits her large bosom to divine intervention, she says. God touched her in her special place and gave her those bountiful bosoms. And I say, good work, God. Bradley Cooper and Renee Zellweger, one of Hollywood's hot couples, are back in America after a vacation in Spain. Apparently, they were in Barcelona. That's right, Barcelona.
give me
popular Spanish city, Barcelona.
Barcelona.
There you go.
And they were having a great time, according to onlookers, getting cozy and cuddling and being all kinds of smoochy-woochy.
Can you tell if Renee Zellweger is having a good time, or does it still look like she smelled a fart?
That's all the time.
You think Bradley Cooper's like, damn, if I had held off a couple weeks, I would have been a big star from The Hangover and I could have had anybody I wanted.
Yeah, he could do better.
That's right.
Could have just stopped by Eric and Rebecca's place and joined in the threesome.
Instead of being with Squishy Face.
And here's a nice fact that Brad Pitt is finally admitting that his life isn't perfect.
Wow.
For so long now, we've heard about them being the perfect couple and the perfect parents, and she's off being a UN ambassador, and he's building houses in Louisiana just out of cork and egg crates.
And they have sex
trash they
everywhere,
find. They have sex
and it's
every
always
day,
great,
and
they, even though they have 100 children.
That's right. Well, apparently their life isn't perfect, people. Brad Pitt told Parade magazine this week regarding his children. Children wasn't what I was really seeking.
Oh, good. Good.
There are laughs, but they are accompanied by great aggravations and irritations.
Excellent.
Thank God he said that.
Regarding raising the 27 orphans they've adopted. So at least we know he's human and he gets aggravated like the rest of us.
Do you think that they have a lot of these conversations where she says, honey, let's get another one. And he says, please, no. And she says, come on, I'm Angelina Jolie. Do it for me. And he says, okay.
All right.
I don't think it happens that way. I think she just comes home with him.
She surprises him.
Hey, Brad, look
honey,
what I got.
It followed me home. Can we keep him? Before I get to celebrity birthdays, I've got some tickets to give away to a very special event. It is the premiere of The Final Destination. This is the movie, of course, where a bunch of attractive young people get hunted down by death, and death kills them.
That's right.
That's what death does.
That's what death does best.
Look, birds gotta swim, fish gotta fly. You know what I'm saying?
This is The Final Destination Part 1, though, right?
No, this is The Final Destination. This is it.
Part 3D.
If you'd like to go, August 27th is the premiere at the Mann Village in Westwood. The movie's in theaters the next day on August the 28th. But you get to go before anyone else if you answer my trivia question. If you're a Final Destination fan, you'll know this. The very first Final Destination was in the year 2000. Which soon-to-be star of the TV series Heroes was one of the stars of the original Final Destination?
George Takei.
Which star of Heroes was in the first Final Destination film? It was not George
Takei. You have another
George
pair of tickets to give away. If you want them, just call in. You can win those tickets.
I've got five pairs of tickets to give away.
Well, we have a question.
And it's a trivia question. Right. You can't just call in. 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. The first five people who get through with the correct answer of which future Heroes star was in the first Final Destination film, you will get a pair of tickets. Take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? Andy Samberg from Saturday Night Live is 31 years old today.
Cause I'm on a boat, picture drink. I'm on a boat, bitch. We drinking Santana champ cause it's so crisp. I got my swim trunks and my flippy floppies.
Come on.
He's on a boat, bitch.
He is on a boat, in his defense.
Malcolm Jamal Warner. Remember little Theo Huxtable?
Yeah! Sure.
Yeah! He's 39 years old now. Edward Norton, very talented actor, is 40. Christian Slater also turns 40 years old today. Everlast from House of Pain, of course, in his own solo career is 40. Madeline Stowe turns 51 years old today. Actor and comedian Dennis Leary is 52. Patrick Swayze celebrates his 57th birthday today. Good for you, Patrick. And legendary film star Robert Redford is 73 years
Hello,
old.
Hello, I'm Robert Redford.
Hey, Bob. How are you? We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do. We have Travis.
Travis?
Yes.
Which future hero star was also a star of the very first Final Destination film in 2000?
Allie Larder.
Allie Larder is correct.
How about that?
She's delicious. I'm sorry that death caught up with her.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Congratulations, you're one of our winners. You're going to the premiere of The Final Destination coming up on the 27th of August.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, man. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Where's their album? I demand an album that kind of sounds like that. That was a really good song.
It was.
I like that.
That is brand new from Weezer here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The song is called I Want You To. We don't know what the album is going to be called, but it's probably something like the Yellow Album.
Yeah.
It'll be out on October the 27th.
Doesn't seem like they put a lot of work into their album titles.
No. True.
No, Red. Not much.
What are you going to go with this time?
Just Red.
Okay.
They've had Red, they've had Green, they've had Blue. I mean, the one album that the album that they named, Pinkerton, is the famous one that at the time was, you know, widely considered a bust for them. So maybe they're superstitious. I don't know what the deal is.
But even anyway, that had Pink in it, for God's sake.
Exactly. It has been it's been a great summer for new music. In fact, we had that Dead by Sunrise, the Chester Bennington side project. We had that for you yesterday. We had the
brand new Alice in Chains this week. Now we got brand new Weezer. It's been very exciting to see all this stuff. Now, Rivers Cuomo, lead singer songwriter for Weezer, he's the guy who was with Russell Crowe in Gladiator, right, Kevin? Do I have that right? He's the same actor who was in Gladiator and Walked the Line? Or am I talking about the right guy?
That would be Joaquin Phoenix. And
what?
And that's not the same person I learned yesterday.
What?
It turns out those are different people.
So the beautiful Olivia Munn is in yesterday from Attack of the Show, and we're talking about her Loveline appearance the night before. And I says to her, I says, hey, I was listening to you on the Loveline last night, and I heard that Rivers Cuomo called in. And Kevin, what did you hear?
Well, you want me to play the tape? Because obviously I heard something different.
Sure.
Yeah, let's.
I didn't hear Rivers Cuomo as much as...
What was Rivers Cuomo talking about? Why did he call just to say hi to her?
I'll tell you this. Nothing. Like, he really is so quiet and so shy. And
what's his... Is he full of crap? What is his deal? I mean, I think this whole thing where he's going to go into music and blah, 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 it's all just like a video that they're making or a movie or something.
I don't know. What is his deal? What's he
saying? What are you talking about? We're talking about Rivers Cuomo. Kevin.
Oh, he's talking about...
Who was I talking about?
You're talking about Joaquin Phoenix?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're saying those are different people. I don't know what happens when that goes on. I really don't know what kind of short circuit there is in my head. But I there was no question in my mind who it was. I pictured Joaquin Phoenix.
As soon as the name came out, Rivers Cuomo.
Immediately.
Right.
It's not like I was thinking, is that this guy or that guy? I mean, we've done a breakfast with Weezer. We've had him on a bunch. I mean,
yeah, you know who they are.
I know who they are. I know who he is. I love the music. And yet I didn't hear that name at all. And everybody, Olivia was looking at me and Lisa was looking at me. And Bean and Mike. And I just felt like I was at a circus for a second. And I was the freak. And everybody's looking at me like, what just happened?
Well, we're concerned for your health.
My
at that
answer?
Point.
I don't know.
We had a post-mortem on it yesterday. We took the tape up to the lab, and the scientists worked on it. And the most generous conclusion I think Ralph came to was that maybe you were thinking – you heard Rivers Cuomo, and that made you think of River Phoenix?
Yeah.
And then River Phoenix led you to Joaquin Phoenix? I mean, is it possible that that happened? The synapse was firing like that?
Yes. I would like to say that that is what happened. 106.7 K-Rock is
There it is.
That was when I first knew that Kevin was having some brain problems.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
I'm having a stroke and you people are laughing at my bad joke.
That's who we are. You know that.
Look, I don't know why I'm lame and why that happens.
I think we need to start having flashcards. You know how when you see the seats in the audience at an award show where they have the picture? Here's where Madonna is going to sit. They have a photo of Madonna there in the chair, so you know who it is under her name.
Yeah.
We need to start holding up cards with photos on them every time we talk about a celebrity on the show now.
Yeah, it really sucks to be
that's
me.
That's a good idea.
In that situation. That especially when you have a guest who's in the studio and they can't figure out what you're talking about either. Not just the general topic, just like I'm not even speaking the same language as human beings.
Because we've come
Ralph
to
said
expect
Kevin.
It.
We what?
We've come to expect it.
Yeah, but she didn't know.
Olivia
that.
Was like, what is going on?
All right, so that wasn't my finest moment. You people done?
Mm-hmm.
Making
I
fun of my stroke?
You finished? I thought it was terrific. I say, keep doing what you're doing.
Okay.
Where's their album? I demand an album that kind of sounds like that. That was a really good song. Okay. I like that.
The album has been out for years. That's fine. That's a Puddle of Mud here. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Congratulations to Jose Sanz. He just won tickets for Epicenter 09. It's this weekend, don't you know, with Linkin Park, Tool, Alice in Chains, Wolf Mother, Atreyu, Hollywood Undead, and more. Some seats still available. We'll have more tickets you can win coming up. First, though, time for the Kevin and Bean Afro Line.
323-520-AFRO. That's the phone number. It's an answering machine 24 hours a day. Anything that makes you think of us, fine. Leave us a message on that. We were talking a couple days ago about Lisa May and certain portions of her body.
What?
And that's what this first call is about.
Hey, Lisa, can I try on your wizard sleeve?
Yeah. Oh, come on. Wow. I don't that have a it. Wizard sleeve.
I like to
prove it.
I like now that I know it. What it is.
I like the disgust in her voice.
Prove it.
I'll prove it.
Everyone pretty much agrees that we at this radio station have great commercials.
Oh, the best.
They don't drive anyone crazy, and that's the good thing.
Please tell the South Coast Toyota commercial that every time I hear their commercial, I die a little inside.
Well, yeah, when you need a Toyota, where are you going to go?
And I like that she wants us to tell the commercial that.
Right.
I'm not exactly sure how we would do that, but that's the way it goes.
Kevin and Dean, you guys are the funniest people. I'm so cute.
Woo-woo! And we just saw a Domino smart car. You know how much you hate the smart cars. Woo-woo!
Do hate the smart cars, because they say smart on them. And yet they would get totaled if I threw my gum out the window and they hit it. So that doesn't seem terribly smart. Here's a song for everyone that I think you might like.
Ooh, Psycho Mike. Psycho Mike poops outside my window. Psycho Mike poops beside the tree. I wish his family could see that he's on the front lawn and dropping dookie. And Psycho Mike poops outside my window pane. Yeah, I know, it's like a year late, but whatever.
The fear.
That happens sometimes. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. It's well done.
Request?
Bean, I think most of us would appreciate it if you would stop after you ask a long question. You'll start asking a really long question, and you'll be like... You'll breathe really loudly through your nose into the mic. Most of us would appreciate it if you would quit doing that.
Oh, quit doing that? I thought I was supposed to be doing that.
I'd like to take it a step further and say quit breathing.
I misunderstood.
Completely?
Altogether.
Oh.
I think. Am I speaking for everyone?
Interesting direction to go.
No? Ralph was talking about Lindsay Lohan going to Lollapalooza.
Ralph, what's up? I just listened to your show, Bisbee, and you said Samantha Ronson and Lindsay Lohan attended Lollapalooza. The only thing is, you got it wrong, my friend. They attended Lollapalooza.
See?
Of course.
What he did?
Yes.
The award season is right around the corner.
The gayest performance in a movie role goes to Kevin!
No time like the present.
Excuse me.
Yay!
I didn't know there was a category of the gayest performance.
It is remarkable in a half a second on the screen. You're able to establish your character as a fully realized homosexual.
Hey, Bean, I'm in Washington, D.C. for the weekend. Guess what building I'm walking by?
The FBI!
Well, congratulations on that.
Guy calls us from D.C.
Hey, the FBI!
And then this dude called.
Hey, do you see the guy on TV? He's in a standoff with...
The FBI!
Wow. I think I had the real one.
Sweeping the nation.
Take it off. That's a good question.
Wow, did you guys see that Michael Vick was signed by the Philadelphia Eagles? That's amazing. I mean, he's an electrifying player and all. But, you know, I think he was drowning in debt. That's why they got him. Personally, I think the Eagles are still going to be underdogs. But, man, that NFC East is going to be a dogfight all year.
That's a good point.
But, you know, I don't know, I think his bark is a lot worse than his bite, though. But, God, he has the attitude of a pit bull, so maybe he can come back. If you can't tell, I hate the MFR.
No, what about the dogs? What about the dogs?
Exactly.
I think that was a good attempt. That dude.
Mm-hmm.
He worked
on that.
He got thrown out at first, but I mean, it was a try. He tried to work in a lot of hate for the Eagles, and especially Michael Vick, so good on him. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours.
Look, I've been saying for years that a white man can't get nowhere today. I mean, that's been what I've been telling you, right?
That's
can't
true.
Get the White House. I found out this weekend can't win a PGA Tour. That's not possible. Now, apparently, you can't even walk down the street anymore if you're whitey. Apparently, now even that's off limits.
Well, there was a neighborhood called Long Branch in New Jersey, and there was a dude outside walking, and it was pouring rain.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy looked all disheveled, and he had a hoodie on, and he just kind of was shuffling. So some of the neighbors called the police and said, there's a guy acting suspiciously. Why would he be out in the rain? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So the police pulled alongside the dude, and they asked him what he was doing there, and he said he was looking at a house for sale. They asked for ID. He said, I don't have any, but I'm Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan, one of the biggest music stars in the last 100 years.
Sure.
Most of it in the first 50, not the last 50. But... He's recognizable, but he does look like death warmed over as well.
Yeah.
Well, he's 68 years old, and I think, you know, the young police officer that was leading this investigation is in her 20s. And if she's heard of Bob Dylan at all, she's familiar with his photos probably from those early 60s album covers.
Right.
That's the Bob Dylan that she knows. So now she's got this, you know, there's apparently this homeless man standing in front of her. It's hard to reconcile. Yeah, you're Bob Dylan walking along in a poor neighborhood in New Jersey in the pouring rain.
It really makes
remember
no
when
sense.
He went to the when he went to his grandkids' school and he scared them all?
Yes.
He's going to
yes.
tell them stories and he scared them all because he's so the officer picked him up and took him back to his hotel so that he could verify who he was. still didn't not believing that it was Bob Dylan, which is awesome.
But if you're a police officer anywhere and you deal with a lot of transients on the street, they've all got stories. Oh, yeah, you're Bob Dylan. Well, this guy over here is Jesus. Right. I mean, you're just kind of used to hearing stories, right? So they made him go back to the hotel and prove that he was, in fact, Bob Dylan. And I just think, I mean, I hope that Mr. Dylan is just laughing about it. But we asked producer Alex to line him up because, you know, we have a close personal relationship with Bob. And he joins us again on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Bob.
Well, Kenny.
How are you?
Man, it's good. It's good. They're profiling.
You're afraid they're profiling?
Yeah.
But what kind of profiling?
Hobo.
Hobo profiling.
Yeah.
So, Bob, I know you're an eccentric guy and you're out there seeing America and you just like to wander around and look for people and inspirations for your songwriting. But what are you doing in the pouring rain cruising a neighborhood in New Jersey?
They made you get in the police car.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they said, Bob Dylan. And they said, Bob who?
Yeah.
And they said, Bob Dylan. And then they believe me, and they're going, I don't know. And they said, I got into the hotel, and Raymond said, and when they said it was going to go on, then they've been telling me.
Bob, I'm not positive about this, but I would guess perhaps they didn't understand a single word you were saying to them.
Exactly. That's our point.
Because we can't understand what you're saying to us. If I was a cop and I picked you up and you sounded like that, I'd take you somewhere, too.
Well, I got the new Happy Time theme hour.
You do have your Happy Time radio storytelling
yes.
hour.
Yes. Happy Time lemonade cookie hour.
Right.
And this week, I'm talking about F the police.
I'm sorry.
Oh, well, yeah. Look, it was just a misunderstanding. It's not like they... Right, but they didn't arrest you or anything like that. They're just asking questions because some of the neighborhood people were concerned. That's all.
America, God damn it!
Right, but it was pouring rain, and you looked like
look,
a hobo.
I can't walk in the rain.
Look.
What's wrong in the rain?
All right, so your theme this week is?
Is F the police.
F the police.
Oh. Yeah.
All right.
Fight the power.
Yeah. Fight the power. Fight the power. Yeah.
You don't have to sing along. You're actually playing the song. People can just listen to the words in the song. You don't have to sing along with it to make it enjoyable for the listener.
Well, you can, but then it makes it harder to understand. That's all. That's true.
Oh, I did with that.
Hey, Bob.
Do you run into a lot of people like this situation where they just have no idea what you look like because you're so old?
No, everybody knows Bob Dylan.
The young Bob Dylan. But you look like Father, you know, you look like Death now.
I mean, the thing, Bob Dylan or John Waters?
John Waters?
Yeah.
I don't get that at all.
Skinny mustache.
That's pretty strange.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. Sure can't,
Sing. All right, that's not helping anybody, Bob. That's not doing anyone any favors.
Hey, Bob.
You shouldn't be singing NWA songs.
Yeah.
You don't even know the words to that song. Okay, you know that part.
Yeah, I know that part.
Okay.
And then about the police.
Yeah. Is this the theme from SWAT?
I think so, yeah.
This doesn't have any lyrics, Bob.
And there was no SWAT team involved in this story in New Jersey.
Bob, there are no lyrics to this song.
This is just nonsense.
It's just a theme song.
All right, Bob, listen. We gotta go. We're glad everybody's okay. Just a misunderstanding. Bob does sound fired up, though. What?
All right, Bob, we gotta go.
Bob.
Mr. Dylan, we...
We have to go. I'm afraid Bob's got the Alzheimer's. What do you guys think?
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, skateboarder Danny Way on the program tomorrow, and we'll catch up with Quentin Tarantino, a guy we've been having on this show for 15 years, and we're very excited to welcome him back tomorrow talking about Inglourious Basterds. That's 24 hours from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
I just hope he manages to whip up a little energy.
Yeah.
He's usually pretty sleepy.
He's like, oh, I'm Quentin Tarantino.
You can never hear him, and he's never excited about his projects. So boring.
I don't even think he likes movies, to tell you the truth, that dude.
Nope. Well, Sunday night, Michael Vick was famously interviewed on 60 Minutes, and it turned out, no surprise, to be America's most watched program of the week. But some other shows did very well for themselves as well this Sunday. The ratings are in.
What about the dogs? What about the dogs?
Well, Khloe Kardashian did very well for herself. Khloe and Courtney in Miami was the most watched series debut on E.
Glendale.
With 2.7 million viewers.
If you wonder why they keep giving Ryan Seacrest shows to produce, this is why. Because he knows what America wants.
Them.
I guess yep. so.
Also, people were watching AMC's Mad Men, which pulled down 2.8 million viewers Sunday night, making it one of the hits of the evening as well. So congratulations to those
guys. Why are you bad, America?
Bad. You're great.
Right, great.
Kevin won't stop talking about how great that episode was.
That episode was so good.
Yeah, didn't see that.
In England, they've got a little issue with the swine flu.
Okay.
The H1N1.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Uh-huh. People, you can't buy a mask over there in the drugstores. They're sold out.
Yeah. Everyone's wearing them?
Everyone is wearing the masks.
I like it.
And so they've got a commercial running about how to avoid getting the swine flu. It's a public service announcement, but it's sort of done in a funny, entertaining manner, so people will pay attention.
Right.
The actor who stars in that commercial is an actor named David McCusker. I guess you can see where this story is going. He, sadly, has been diagnosed with the swine flu.
Yes.
It was quite a shock when I found out, he told the London Daily Mail. I quarantined myself, and I've been getting a lot of grief from my mates. The phrase they use in the commercial is, catch it, bin it, kill it, which is you're supposed to catch your sneeze in like a tissue or a handkerchief.
Right.
Then you bin it, and the bin is what they call a trash can over there in England. So you throw it away, and then you kill the infection that way.
Okay. And so how did he do with that?
He said, I've been shivering it, shaking it, and spreading it. So apparently he didn't follow his own advice.
Well, Landon Donovan
There wouldn't
too.
Be a swine flu if we treated the pigs better.
That's right.
That's true, by the way. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
Motorhead frontman Lemmy
yes.
is very upset with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Uh-oh.
Pussy.
What?
He said he loaned the museum one of his leather jackets in 2001, and they never returned it, and now they can't find it.
He loaned it to them?
Yeah, I guess they were using it for a display, and he never got it back. And he's accusing them of stealing it. He says, institutions like that don't lose things. Someone steals them. I'm sure someone's girlfriend is wearing it. Yeah, I'm sure they stole your leather jacket and gave it to one of their girlfriends, Lemmy.
I would like to say, for the most part, museums don't steal stuff.
Right? For the most part, they don't. No.
They're pretty good at organization.
It's possible they could have lost it. And it's possible you could buy yourself a new leather jacket, too, Lemmy.
Yeah, well, there's that.
It's also unlikely if you're in a building and have access to steal stuff. I don't know, maybe you steal John Lennon's blood-stained glasses before you steal Lemmy's dirty old jacket, you know?
Could be.
Seems like it'd be low on the list of things to steal in that museum, is my point.
Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
And Kevin have a lot in common.
Yes, we do.
Not that.
Oh.
Apparently, Tommy Lee was playing around with fireworks over the past weekend.
Oh, that's not acceptable.
And got injured. The band's official website says Tommy's left hand is so badly burned from fireworks that he can't play drums. For the next few Crew Fest 2 dates. So Morgan Rose of Seven Dust has to fill in, even though Tommy is still showing up on stage every night. He's just not playing drums.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
Yes, it was. So here's what I've always said. Dumb guys should not play with fireworks.
Me too.
But neither Kevin nor Tommy Lee will pay attention to my warnings.
Well, let's ask. Maybe it wasn't Tommy's fault. What was going on out there with the fireworks that you got hurt, Tommy Lee?
Oh, man. It's bananas.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's bananas?
Yeah. Was it a mistake on your part?
What happened?
You know what they say.
What?
You know, when you're on your ivory tower.
Right.
The kettle's black.
Right, sure.
All right, thank you, Tommy, for that clarification.
And you think being a Victoria's Secret supermodel is all about fame and drinking champagne and showing off in your underwear?
Yes.
Seems like.
Wrong.
What?
You have no idea how hard it can be. Miranda Kerr?
Oh.
You know, yes. Miranda.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
She would like us to know that it's a very dangerous business being a supermodel.
What's she talking about?
She says walking on the catwalk is very dangerous because many of them are slippery. And it's a very hazardous workplace.
She's not the one that fell into that hole, is she? That six, that hole in the stage?
No, she
isn't.
That was
awesome.
And she says sometimes you get glitter stuck between your toes, and it's very uncomfortable.
Wow.
So there.
Wow.
That's an excellent point.
So whatever you're doing today with your job, just thank your lucky stars that you're not a supermodel walking on a stage with glitter between your toes.
Okay.
Things could always be worse.
That's right.
Wow.
How dare you people?
The Summer of Death.
She's not dead. She's just
got close, though.
Glitter between
Very
her toes.
Very close many times.
And by now, you've probably heard of the Eric Dane, Rebecca Gayheart sex tape, they're calling it. However, there really is no sex going on in the tape. It is the star of Grey's Anatomy and his actress wife with a friend of theirs, Carrie Ann Peniche. She is a former Miss Teen USA and allegedly a Hollywood madam as well, and perhaps prostitute.
I think I would like to see the Miss USAs go in that direction.
I would, too.
That's a good... I have a clip from the sex tape.
Oh, I'd love to hear it. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so
here's a sex
yeah, I'm
right going to
take care of them, dude. Okay. All right? So I'm going to go. I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? Uh-huh. I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right?
Okay, all right.
Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right?
Plenty.
Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all
right?
Right. Say hi to the family for me, okay? Okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go out smoothly,
Here's
dude.
The sex.
Double cross.
Is that a
All
sex
right, man.
Move?
I got to go. Later.
Double cross is a sex move, yeah. A lot of people don't know.
There's a lot of nudity. You get to see Eric Dane's tallywhacker if you're interested in that kind of thing, but there is no really sex per se. They're mostly just nude and getting stoned. Apparently.
That's the name of my autobiography, by the way.
Nude and stoned?
Nude and getting stoned.
Apparently. The tape was released due to Mindy McCready, the country western star, who was roommates with Carrie Ann after they completed a stint on Celebrity Rehab. Has that season aired, by the way?
I don't know those people from that show.
No, it hasn't.
I don't remember seeing Mindy McCready and Carrie Ann on Celebrity Rehab.
No, because yesterday Olivia was talking about how she and Dr. Drew were filming from the set of. We're doing the radio show from the set, so they're filming it right now.
Must be going on.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, Carrie Ann says that Mindy McCready stole the hard drive that the video was on, and now it is out there on the internet, so no word whether there'll be any legal action or not, but there's a big brouhaha.
Is Mindy McCready also the crazy one who was linked to Roger Clemens, too?
I think so.
I believe
was that
you're
her?
Right.
Yeah.
I believe you're right. You know me, I have an encyclopedic knowledge of country western stars and their shenanigans.
What you're known for.
Yeah.
And baseball.
And baseball, too. Yeah, that's my two favorite things.
I just remember that whole deal. Like, she was 15 when she started, like, that relationship with Roger Clemens, and he was sending her money for years in FedEx envelopes. It's just, there's so many crazy things about that girl.
It's Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are in stores today. Here's what you can pick up on DVD in case you missed it. In theaters or on television, Hannah Montana the Movie is available on DVD.
Already got that, Bean?
I'm not a huge Hannah fan, so probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
It's the best he can do.
He might Netflix it.
Probably not.
Yeah, that's really what I'll do.
The documentary that we talked so much about and all enjoyed very much, Tyson, is available on DVD today, in case you missed it. Dexter, the third season.
Also
Dexter,
fascinating.
Classic TV show from Showtime. You can pick up the third season just in time to get ready for the fourth season, which debuts later in September. Gossip Girl, the second season. Sons of Anarchy, season one from FX. Simpsons, the 12th season. Eli Stone, the complete second season. And Dirty Sexy Money, the final season. You can pick up on DVD as well. If you're so inclined. Today's celebrity birthdays. Andy Samberg from Saturday Night Live.
That you want some more and I in my pants. This really never happens, you can take my word. I won't apologize, that's just absurd. Mainly your fault for the way that you dance. I know I in my pants. Don't tell your friends or I'll say you're a slut. Plus it's your fault you were rubbing my butt.
Yeah. 31 years old today. Malcolm Jamal Warner, Theo Huxtable from the old Cosby Show is 39.
Edward Norton turns 40 today. Christian Slater also 40, as is Everlast. Madeline Stowe is 51. Dennis Leary, 52. Patrick Swayze celebrates his 57th birthday. And Robert Redford, movie legend, turns 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I love Sharon Osbourne so much. She's on America's Got Talent, of course, which is America's number one television show, Tuesdays and Wednesday nights for 2 big hours. And we are always happy to have her back on the Kevin and Bean Show. She joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Sharon, how are you?
Good morning, my darling.
I always think about you because you're, as a lot of people know, a rock and roll legend. I mean, you've been around forever and you know and love rock music. Is it weird for you to sit there through some of the cheese that you have to endure on a show like this one?
I enjoy it, actually.
But the bad ones, even?
But it's not your taste. I'm saying you're not interested in seeing this kind of music or these kinds of acts because you're freaking Sharon Osbourne. I can't imagine that much of it appeals to you personally.
But you know what? My background, I mean, the background that I came from, I mean, my father started out as a singer. My mother was a dancer.
Right.
So I kind of get the variety aspect.
But, like, this season, there were, I don't know, 6 or 8 girls, and they came out, and they were tap dancing. And I thought to myself, really, tap dancing should be relegated to kids 6 and under. That's it.
Oh, but do you know what? Those are sisters. They're 5 sisters. And have you ever in your life seen anyone tap so fast?
No.
They're great at what they do.
Right, but at the end of the day, when they're finished, it's still tap dancing. So I think, wow, they must have put a lot of work into that. What a waste.
We have this discussion all the time, Sharon. Look, I don't care how many dominoes you set up to knock down. You're still just knocking down dominoes, even if it's the most that have ever been knocked down. It's hard to get too excited about it.
It's. Do you know what it is? It's a different kind of excitement. It's not excitement, but it's appreciation of other kinds of entertainment.
I don't have that. I'm sorry to say.
It's so funny. I mean, I'm sure sociologists would tell us that something's going on with the American psyche, that a show like yours is number one. I mean, who would have ever thought in the 21st century that Americans could sit on their couch and watch dog acts and watch clog dancers and watch ventriloquists? I mean, it's like we're living in the 1950s again sometimes.
It is, but But the thing is, it's kind of like mindless TV. There's no plot. You just sit there and you don't know what's coming up next.
Right.
And it's just different than watching one singer after another sing Hero.
Yeah, right. I hear you on that one. Yeah. I'm not a fan of that show. I'm a fan of yours more than that one, just because there is so much variety and strange people.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, Sharon. We've seen the meltdowns on shows like American Idol with people who are convinced that they have the talent and they are going to make it. Nothing's going to stand in their way. And let's face it, sometimes when you and the other judges have to be tough on somebody and say, I don't think you've got it, have you run into that where you've seen some of these people who've just fallen apart because their dreams have not been realized?
You know what's so great about this show is that we have no communication with the artists at all. They are kept so far away from us, we're not allowed to talk to them at all. And if we pass in a hallway, if we happen to, they're not allowed to talk to us.
Awesome.
We're not allowed to talk to them. So everything that they do is kept so far away from us that we have no idea what goes on with them at all.
That's great. So you can destroy somebody and never know about it.
Well, you have no personal contact with these artists at all.
It's so different than, say, on American Idol, where Paula Abdul is banging contestants. I mean, really, what a difference, right?
Would that fly on your show, Sharon?
Oh, my God.
I'm guessing not.
How's the Hoff this year? Is he giving you trouble, or has he been staying in line pretty much?
Oh, the Hoff. How fabulous is the Hoff? I think he's going to be singing soon.
Oh, dear God.
Oh,
heaven
come
help
on.
Us.
You know you're going to watch,
he's that
David.
Song that he did, that Get In My Car. I wanted to take my life, Sharon.
Oh, yeah, but you still watched it.
But only out of, wow, what a train wreck. Come
are you,
on.
Are you friendly?
Do you judge his performance? That would be awesome if you and Piers were able to get your opinions in on Hasselhoff.
Oh, no. We can get a couple of, like, schneidy digs in, but that's it.
All right.
Are you guys friendly, you judges? Do you ever hang out, or are you too busy?
No, I hang out with peers quite a lot.
He's the awesome. UK awesome. TV personality, Piers Morgan. Yeah, he's a great judge.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're a great judge. And then you've got that guy to your left.
There's always one. That's how it goes.
He's the Paul Abdul of your
exactly.
show.
Exactly.
We are speaking with our friend Sharon Osbourne on the phone, of course. Another new episode, big 2 hours tonight and tomorrow night on NBC of America's Got Talent. Hey, while we have you on, tell me about, I'm sure you had discussions with Kelly before she decided to do Dancing with the Stars. What do you make of that, Sharon?
Do you know what? Kelly wants to be able to learn how to dance for her wedding.
Really?
Yeah. And she says there would be nothing more sexy than to be able to salsa dance, to go to a club or wherever and start salsa dancing. And you know what? It's like, it's fun. It's a show where people really get on. It's fun, and you can have a laugh. And she can learn to dance for a wedding, so it's perfect.
Do you worry about the aspect of your show, which is the judging? Do you worry about that for her on that show?
No, because those guys, it's not cutthroat. You know, they just say. And the thing is, it's good fun. I mean, look, Macy Gray's doing the show. Now, can you imagine? Macy's got to have size 13 feet.
Yes, she does.
Now, can you imagine? But the thing is, you go in there and it's fun.
Plus, she's always high, so you got that working for
right.
you.
Exactly. Hey, are you worried about the father-daughter dance at Kelly's wedding? Because I don't know when the last time was Ozzy was out there cutting the rug.
Oh, I think we'll pass on that one.
Oh, come on.
I want to see a very special Dancing with the Stars where Ozzy comes out and dances with Kelly. That would be so awesome.
Haven't you seen that one that we did with Ozzy and Heather McCartney?
Sure.
Did you see that
Is
one?
That enough, though, do you think, Sharon?
Oh, no, come on. Ozzy did one. I'll send you the tape.
All right.
I'd love to. I'd love
Where
to see that.
Where we blue-screened him in with Heather, and then he ends up with Heather's leg in his hand.
Oh.
It's so funny.
I didn't see that.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. I swear I'm going to send it round for you.
Please
so
do.
That's awesome.
We would like
well,
that.
Well, you guys are the best, Sharon. We always love when we get a chance to talk to you. America's Got Talent, two big nights, Tuesday and Wednesday each week on NBC. Have a great time on the show. We'll talk to you again soon. All right, sweetheart?
Big kisses.
Bye-bye, Sharon.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 25 minutes after 8 o'clock. Sure wish that would go. That'd be cool if that would go.
There we go.
And okay. Now, a moment with Bean.
Sandy has the silky smooth skin, too.
That was a moment with Bean.
Wasn't as tight as it could have been, but look.
That's what she said.
Happens.
Not impressed with my attempt to say silky smooth skin. But see, that's the problem with this show, man. You screw up one time, it's on tape.
Yeah.
Everything gets saved when you do this program.
Bean?
But at least it doesn't come back to haunt you over and over again.
I'm being told Ozzy Osbourne's on the phone.
Ozzy?
What?
Really?
All right. Ozzy?
Sharon! Sharon!
We talked to Sharon 10 minutes ago.
Sharon is there. I need to talk to her.
She's not here.
Sharon!
We talked to her on the phone a minute ago about being one of the judges on America's Got Talent.
Is she still there?
No, she
wasn't. She wasn't here at all. We just talked to her on the phone. Maybe she.
How
where
long
are you? Are you at
did
home?
She leave?
What?
How long ago did she leave?
She wasn't here, Ozzy. We just talked to her on the
Sharon,
phone, probably in
you
your
there?
House.
Sharon, are you there?
She was on the phone. It could have been in your house, Ozzy. Have you looked around your home?
No, I haven't looked around in my home.
Okay, well maybe she's there.
Well, that's the problem. I'm lost.
In your own
You're
home?
You're lost in
yes,
your own house?
I'm in the closet and I can't find my way out.
Well, do you see any kind of a door?
No, it's dark in here.
Well, can you just push forward? Okay, yelling is not going to help.
No, it's just a bunch of clothing and it's in darkness.
Right, but just try to start walking and see what happens.
I can't walk. I'm in the closet.
All right.
Okay. Okay. Use the light from your cell phone as a mini flashlight and see if you can make out the door handle.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
The light from your phone should light it up enough to see the door.
Do you have your cell phone?
Yes, I'm talking on it.
That's a good point. Okay.
But right. How did you think he was talking to us, Gavin?
I thought maybe he was on the home phone, but no, that doesn't make
but
sense.
Not
the
closet.
It was a closet phone.
That's why I suggested the cell phone, because he has it with him. That's the one tool he has access to.
I have to take my medication.
Oh, no, really?
What are you on? What are you taking this morning?
The suppositories.
Oh.
I can't figure out where they go.
Oh, no.
These directions can't be right.
They are, probably.
No! I have to put them there.
Yes.
I'm afraid that's how suppositories work.
I'd rather be sick.
No. Suppositories need to go in the...
The whole bottle?
Yes.
No. Just whatever the dose is.
No, the whole bottle, yes.
The bottle
no, please
yes,
don't.
The bottle,
no.
Too.
All right, that's
no. Pills, don't bottle, and that. All.
No. There's no making deal. Look, you can do whatever you want, Kevin. If you just want to roll over for the man, if you just want to live in the USSA, then that's fine, if that's how you roll. That's not how I roll.
We've been talking about the Bob Dylan story and how he was walking through a neighborhood in New Jersey, and the neighbors called the police because he was just out there in the pouring rain, just right. Walking with a hoodie on. And looking like death. And mm-hmm. The police showed up and he didn't have ID, so they took him to find his ID so he could verify who he was.
Mm-hmm. They made him prove who he was, right? As if, I mean, once the police showed up and realized he wasn't doing anything, that he wasn't breaking any laws, he wasn't being illegal, he's just walking down the street, that should have been the end of it. I don't get the whole, oh, Mr. Dylan, we're going to have to take you somewhere so you can prove your identity. F you. That's what I say.
So
why do you have to prove your identity?
Well, I think because they suspected that there was something amiss, that there was foul play.
But there wasn't,
though.
Once they got there, they saw that there wasn't. It was just
right.
Bob, crazy old homeless man Bob Dylan walking down the street in the rain.
I guess they do that because then they can check to see if you're out for warrants.
Outstanding warrants
something.
And all
yeah.
that. And look at him, for God. I mean, yeah. Really, if you're a cop and you look at that guy, you go, this guy is trouble.
You don't just let him go. You find out who he is.
Let me just put it this way. If I was walking down the street on the island today and the police pulled over and said, who are you?
Right.
And I said who I was. And they said, what are you doing here? And I said, walking down the street. And they'd say, let me see some ID. I would say, no.
Yeah, you would.
I would say no.
Yeah, well, you would say no.
Because they don't have – I don't believe that they have the right to ask me for, to – look, I don't need papers, for God's sakes. I'm a U.S.
You
citizen.
You can't ask me who I am.
Well, I'm just
you
saying –
You wouldn't say that to the cops.
I think I would.
You wouldn't.
But they'd pull you in, you know.
For what? For not showing ID? Since when do you have to show identification?
I don't know that you have to have it on you, but I think if they ask you, you do have to produce it or go somewhere and get it.
Right. I think it's once there is some suspicion cast on you. That would be my guess.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, I don't know.
Is that so? If somebody called and said there's this creepy spina bifida dude walking down the street and he's in the rain and I can't figure out what he's doing and the police showed up because of a complaint,
right?
You would have to prove who you are, I would guess.
I reject that totally.
It's not communism.
It is communism. Isn't there some sort of – isn't that a violation of some sort of unreasonable search and seizure or something? It just seems
they're
like –
searching. They're not seizuring.
They are searching and seizuring if they're asking you to produce ID for no reason.
Well, they have a reason.
But there wasn't no reason. The neighborhood called and said the guy was acting weird. So there's a reason.
Shaky. I don't approve.
All right, let's talk to a cop. You want to?
Yes.
In fact, I didn't even get around to saying that. If you are a police officer, an attorney, or you know something about this, I want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. I don't think you have to show ID. These guys think I'm crazy. But let's see what Daniel says, because he's the man behind the badge. Hey, Dan, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
What's up, gentlemen? How to do?
Hi.
So,
Daniel.
If you're walking down the road and the neighbors call and you show up and Spina Bifida is walking down the street with his hoodie and you think he might be up to something, does he have to show you who he is?
No.
He doesn't.
Is it a state-by-state thing, Daniel?
Well, you know what? I'm a police officer here in Arizona, and if you make contact with somebody, they're just walking down the street, you don't have probable cause to make an arrest, you don't have to show ID.
Okay, but they picked up Bob Dylan, and by the way, they did the right thing, because that guy looks effing shaky, and they didn't know who he was, so they put him in the car and took him to his hotel so that he could prove who he was. Do you do that?
Well, here, you have to have the guy's permission. Unless you have probable cause to place him under arrest, you can't transport him anywhere.
All right, so you're saying it might be different state to state.
Because we looked it up online yesterday, and I think we discovered that in Nevada, you have to have ID.
Well, here in Arizona, unless you're violating some type of law, traffic law, criminal law, you don't have to have ID.
Okay. But a complaint from a neighbor because you're walking out in front is not enough suspicion to...
correct. It's reasonable suspicion. It depends on the time of night. You know,
right.
2 in the morning. Guys,
what if it's
around.
What if it's pouring rain? It's a bad neighborhood, and it's at night.
Yeah, it's reasonable suspicion to contact somebody, but not to place him under arrest, transport him anywhere.
I don't know that they arrested
and not
him,
to
but
get
they,
their ID?
They did take him to the hotel so he could prove who he was. Probably yeah, because the cop couldn't understand a single word he was saying.
Hey, Daniel, have you out on the beat run into people who have refused to show you ID?
All the time.
And is it usually because they've got a warrant or there's some reason they don't want you to know who they are for legal reasons?
99% of the time, yeah.
All right, if a guy's walking down the street and you have any suspicion, you walk up to him and say, hi, what's your name? What are you doing here? And then you ask for his ID. And he says no, what do?
Really, you can't do anything.
Walk away?
Walk away.
Bean is the man.
Fantastic.
Who knew?
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Daniel, for the call. We appreciate it.
We appreciate you calling, yeah.
We have a cop in Los Angeles as well. Maybe it's different here.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Mike, hi there. Gone.
Mike.
Gone. He says it all depends on the situation.
Well, how do you know his name was Mike, by the way? Maybe we should ask him
Mike.
For some ID.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, and just speaking anecdotally from being the guy who gets pulled over
a lot.
Know, back in the day, you know,
you're
my
shady.
In my drug days.
Right.
If I'm driving through as a non-African American male, if I'm driving through South LA or Inglewood
right.
at 2 in the morning, that, believe me, the cops have let me know. That gives them the right to pull me over because they're like, what are you doing here? You don't
right.
live here.
So they think you're buying drugs
here
or whatever.
For drugs or for some
drugs.
Type yeah. of – and I was going to buy drugs.
Right.
So, I mean, Bean's looking at it from the perspective of a guy who's walking down the street.
Not doing anything.
In Seattle walking his dogs. Yeah. At the end of the day, if Bob Dylan was in the neighborhood that the paper reports he was in, that's a super bad neighborhood, a drug-fueled neighborhood. He's walking in the rain in a hoodie. The cops have reasonable doubt. The cops have every right
okay.
to talk
Plus
to
Plus, it's
that
New
guy.
Jersey, so the cops have every reason to doubt every person that lives there.
First of all, Psycho Mike, if you're in Inglewood, you're up to no good. I think we've all established
That's
that.
That's true.
Second
That's
of all,
true.
You just driving down the street in that neighborhood, even if you're out of place, I still don't think – the police may have suspicions that you're in the neighborhood for nefarious reasons. I still don't believe that you have to show your ID to tell who you are. If you haven't done anything wrong, if you're literally, as you just described, driving your car down Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, I don't think they can ask for your ID.
Well, I'm driving a car at that point, so I know I have
well,
to have my driver's
true.
License.
Yeah, I guess you have to show driver's license if you're driving. If you're walking down the street, though, I don't think they can force
right,
you to see ID.
Let's talk to Rick. Rick has an answer. Okay. And it's different from state to state, apparently. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Well, basically in California, under the circumstances you described with Bob Dylan there, an officer contacts you under suspicious circumstances and asks you who you are. We have a right to detain you to prove who you are if you do not have your ID on you.
Is that right?
But
So in Arizona, the guy said, no, they don't have the right. He would just have to walk away. In California and in New Jersey, apparently, you do have the right to do that.
Yes. If you're walking down the street, broad daylight, nothing going on, and you're just stopping the individual, then yes, we do not have a right to take you and ID you. But because of the circumstances, someone called, you know, he's walking in the middle of the rain.
It was pouring rain, they said. So they couldn't figure out why a guy would be out there walking in the pouring rain.
Exactly.
And they didn't realize it's because he was insane, criminally insane.
Rick, we had this argument yesterday.
Under those circumstances, yeah, we have a right to take you, ask you who you are if you don't have any kind of ID on you, anything. I mean, it could be anything. It'd be your Social Security card.
Right. But what if the dude says no? What if you say, I'd like to see ID, and Tough Bean is out there, and he's like, nope, not going to show you. Taser?
Depending on the circumstances, if he's doing something strange like mumbling.
We know Bob Dylan was mumbling. That's all he does.
Look, here's all I'm saying, and I don't know anything about anything. All I'm just saying is my instincts tell me that the government of the United States doesn't need to know who I am, what I'm doing at all times. That's the only thing I'm trying to get out from under. Is I just feel on principle that if I'm walking down the street not doing anything wrong. I don't care that they know who I am or not. I should not be required to divulge that information.
If you're walking down the street on a beautiful sunny day in Southern California or in Michigan or someplace like that, no, we don't have a right to come up and ask you, demand ID.
But if it's raining and somebody calls you, you do.
Yes.
Okay, but Rick, it's not then a state law that no matter what I'm doing, I need to have ID on me. That is not a state law?
If you're driving?
No, I get driving. Walking. But, I mean, let's say I'm just out walking or whatever.
Let's say Lisa's jogging naked. She doesn't have anywhere to keep her ID.
Okay, I'm not going to go there with that one because that's bringing up pictures that I don't
Okay, all right.
It's pictures I very much want to see.
I do, but all right. We're different.
All right, I've been there, done that, so I don't want to.
Is it a law that I need ID on me at all times?
No. You have to have ID on you after a certain age, yes, to be able to identify yourself. If you're going and doing something in particular, walking down the street or something, and someone contacts you, other than their requirement, do you have to have something on you at all times, 24 hours? No.
Okay.
All right.
That's what I want to know.
Because you're going to have to pry it out of my cold, dead hand. That's all I'm saying.
Been there, done that one, too. Thank you anyway.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for the
Bye.
Call.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
How dare you?
Ralph's favorite comedian.
I thought you'd enjoy the Larry the Cable Guy this morning.
Speaking of stench.
Yeah?
I am so glad they put a new toilet in the bathroom here at the studio.
Why? What happened? That one right there?
No, the one down the hall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Towards Mr. Weatherby's office, towards our boss's office.
That one had taken a beating.
That one, really? You had to sit there with the plunger next to you, and no matter what you did in that toilet.
Even if nothing.
Nothing. It had to be plunged. There's no way you could flush it, and no water would move unless you plunged it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It could have been number one. It could have been a sheet of two-ply toilet paper, but it had to be plunged down in order to get it to operate.
You could be washing your hands in the sink, and you would have to plunge the toilet. Doesn't make any sense.
And in the worst-case scenario, you don't want to be in there with a plunger.
Right.
No.
You don't want to be churning the butter. You know what I'm saying? After your business.
I think we all understand.
It was a nightmare for years. It was a nightmare here. Yeah.
The ladies' bathroom next to it's the nicest one in the building. You should just use that one.
Yeah,
I use the ladies.
I know. I use it all the time though. Because it has a lock on it.
It's for ladies.
But it has a lock on it, and it's so much nicer.
But there's a lock on the boys' room.
No,
I know,
but
I'm saying, we don't want to use ours because it's all messed up.
Because you messed it up.
Anyway, I'm just glad I don't have to plunge anymore. Right. Now I can just go like an adult and just flush and know things are going to be taken care of. So whoever's responsible for that here at the station, I want to thank them.
We owe you.
Good news.
They probably put the paperwork in at about 1995, by the way, and it just finally got around to being replaced.
Don't try to flush the paperwork, because then you need the plunger. It was an everyday event. Just sit there with a plunger in your hand. You feel like an idiot.
But I used to always think, wow, I'm really having trouble.
I thought so too the first dozen times.
It's like, what's happening?
What am I doing? How much am I emptying into the bowl where I need to get the plunger out?
Yeah.
And I don't need to be making the Nestle's Quick, you know, in there with the plunger.
Nope.
I need just a flush.
I think we understand.
I don't think you understand.
I think we all understand.
How much you had to plunge.
We get it.
Yeah. Heard you guys talking about Bob Dylan. Interesting new angle on the Bob Dylan story.
Yes.
Turns out Bob's a little crazy.
You think?
Here's the thing. Dylan apparently has been randomly popping up at the childhood homes of some of his favorite rock stars.
At the childhood home of his favorite
rock star. He was recently seen lingering outside of Neil Young's boyhood home and John Lennon's in Liverpool in the past couple months.
He's got too much time on his hands.
Where he was stopped in Jersey the other day was a few blocks from where Springsteen grew up in the 70s.
Really?
Interesting. So he's like stalking some of his favorite musicians.
Has he lost it?
I think so.
Childhood homes.
I think Bob's in trouble.
Not current homes.
Not current homes. He wants to see where it all began, where their young talents developed.
Knocks on the door and asks some questions.
I think that, apparently, by all accounts, he just sort of stands there and looks and absorbs it.
I think picking him up with the police is the right thing to do.
The cops did the right thing. They probably should have shot him, is what I'm saying. Because he was up to no good.
I'm sure he would say that he's getting inspiration from
whatever.
I'm sure
the vibe,
he would say that.
They should have tased him, bro. That's all I'm saying.
You say you're just a fan of Zac Efron's work when you're watching him on the TV, but we know the truth. I'm just saying. You can't just
Ralph, you're with me on not rolling over for the man every time he wants to see paperwork, right?
Nope.
That's the one thing about Bean that we found out is that he fights the man.
What an odd place for Bean to draw a line in the sand, who is such a total weenie in every other situation.
Right, he's like, I'll tell him no.
Well, up against the man, he's putting a black gloved fist in the air. All of a sudden, he's one of the weathermen.
What if I were to tell you that I got the census form in the mail this week that asked a whole bunch of questions about how many bathrooms you have in your house and what's your electricity bill every month? I threw that thing right in the trash. How about
you
that?
Are
how do you like me
outlaw.
Now? Black Dude, I'm living off the grid. That's what I'm doing.
Wow. The guy who's begging to be on a jury doesn't want to answer a simple census form.
You play by your own rules.
His favorite places are government agencies. Like, yeah.
Loves the post office.
Yeah. Not a fan of the man, apparently, though. Not a fan of the man.
I feel like the man is getting too close, to tell you the truth, these days. Don't you guys?
Because
he asks
you for your identification. He wants to know who you are. That is some big imposition.
I think Bean's hiding stuff at the house.
Personal, yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Really. Right.
So
maybe.
Anywhere in his world is too close.
Do not want them excavating any shallow graves behind the barn, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah, cop stops me. Here's my ID. What else do you need? What can I do for you? Can I sing a number for you? What's your favorite musical? I want to do whatever makes him happy.
I don't like it.
He's got the toughest job on the planet. He has to deal with a-holes 99% of the time.
Yeah.
During his day, every time he's called to work, it's because some jackhole is causing trouble of some kind somewhere.
But let me tell you what he wouldn't like.
If I can make his day a little bit easier, I'm happy to do it.
Let me tell you what he wouldn't like. A musical. You don't need to sing from a musical.
Are you kidding me?
He doesn't need that.
You ever see Cop Rock?
Yeah.
Cops love to sing.
Yeah. All right.
I have mad respect for the police.
I'm not trying to impede their work.
I'm just saying that the citizen continues to have rights as well. That's the only thing I'm offering.
But how is that some sort of imposition on your rights by having to identify who you are? That's all you're doing is saying, I am this person.
I don't want to be under so-called President Obama's thumb. That's all I'm saying.
Are you a pedophile?
Very strange. I was born in America.
All right.
You weren't born in America, by the way.
That's true.
Yeah, I wondered if you noticed that. Not to be picky, but...
I don't think you're a citizen. I'd like to see your birth certificate, quite frankly.
You're also a bug pirate.
That's also true.
Thank you, youngster. That's very true.
One of our favorite entertainment news websites is What Would Tyler Durden Do?
Yes.
WWTDD.com.
That's where I go for pictures and comedy.
Great story today, speaking of comedy. Story entitled, Everyone Hates Gwyneth Paltrow is the name of the story. And they're reporting on the fact that... Folks on the set of Iron Man 2, not too happy that she's back.
Really? I thought she was good in Iron Man.
She was good in the movie. On the set, apparently, a bitch.
Really?
Yeah. The Iron Man team had secret hopes that her character would be recast or even killed, but are resigned to the likelihood that she is locked in as the character of Pepper Potts. Gwyneth did nothing to make friends with her fellow star, Scarlett Johansson, says one crew member. Gwyneth is not friendly to anyone. Tends to make people feel awkward and uncomfortable. She wasn't outright rude to Scarlett, but she didn't ever speak to her either. Gwyneth went out of her way to avoid Scarlett. They had zero contact at Gwyneth's choosing. So, apparently not a joy to be around on the set. The website goes on to say, we think Paltrow is just jealous. Scarlett is better, hotter, younger, and in this movie, they're both in. Scarlett is the frumpy secretary. Gwyneth is the frumpy secretary, and Scarlett is a sexy supervillain. Gwyneth's only superpower is the ability to make everyone want to punch her in her stupid face.
Stupid ass bitch.
Got that going on. And more unfairness in the world of celebrity divorces. I don't know if you guys are, like me, a fan of the classic comedy troupe Monty Python's Flying Circus.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
If you haven't, you owe it to yourself to pick up some DVDs and check it out, because they are still as funny today as they ever were. Anyway, John Cleese was one of the members of that troupe, and you've probably seen him in a bunch of other movies, like Fish Called Wanda, and he was Q in the James Bond movies with Pierce Brosnan. Anyway, he got divorced from his wife this week after 2 years of legal wrangling. And now that it's all said and done, she is richer than he is.
What?
Aww. Yep. He was ordered to pay $13 million in cash assets, a New York apartment that they shared, a $3 million home in West London, and a beach house in Santa Barbara, California.
What?
Oh, my God.
She is also to receive $986,000 a year for 7 years, according to the final divorce
decree. In her defense, she wrote all those hilarious Monty Python sketches. That's right.
Oh, wait. No, she didn't.
Yeah.
She just was married to the guy who did them.
What are the laws like there that you end up with more than half?
They've been married since 1992. And so she gets half of his 9 properties and
a ton of cash. That's what that is right there.
That's what that is. He says, Cleese, always couldn't resist a joke.
He's looking on the right side.
I think I got off lightly. Think what I'd have to pay Alice if she had actually contributed anything to the relationship.
Oh! That's awesome.
In my 70th year, he's 70 years old, I will be spending 2 months out of every year doing work that is of no interest to me, and which is probably slightly spiritually depleting in order to feed the beast. So...
You gotta love the Brits.
That's funny.
Sense of humor continues. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Comedian Andy Samberg from Saturday Night Live is 31 years old today.
Wanna get you something from the heart.
Something special, girl.
It's my in a box. My in a box, babe.
Hi,
it's my in a box.
Oh, that's a hit right
that's
there.
A birthday present.
Yes, it is.
Edward Norton is 40, as is Christian Slater in Everlast. Madeline Stowe turns 51. Comedian actor Dennis Leary is 52. Patrick Swayze celebrates his 57th birthday. And Robert Redford, legendary movie director, actor, and creator of the Sundance Film Festival, is 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Right now, though, our friend Omar has joined us here in the studio. Is he causing trouble again, Kevin? What's the drama? What's going on with O?
No, his friend is the drama.
Yeah.
Omar is a DJ.
Daddy, why does Omar have a towel on his head?
I was hoping that was DJ, that one. The one that goes DJ Omar Khan. And then I
DJ Omar Khan.
That one, yes. And you were DJing a party over the weekend.
DJing a party over the weekend. Huge opportunity for me because it was a billionaire's party.
Oh, and a billionaire.
A billionaire, yeah. And she throws parties a couple times a year.
Awesome.
And she books like headliners for her Halloween party last year. She booked Fergie.
Really?
So, oh my God. Yeah, exactly. So it shows you what kind of party she throws. This party was a Moroccan-themed party. She had like... henna artists doing henna. She had a camel that people could take pictures with.
A camel.
Yeah. It was a pool party.
Yes.
She had bathing suits that people could have. And from Hollister it was everything.
Was it at her house?
At her house. Wow. A 40-acre it was an insane
place.
Did the
camel have toes?
It did.
Okay.
Imagine having so much money that when you're planning your party, you think of something like, oh, it'd be funny if we had a camel.
Right.
Oh, it'd be cool if we could give bikinis to everyone. And then you're able to just make that happen.
Right. So
you're there.
I have a DJ buddy, you know, who thought of me. He was like, you'd be perfect for this party, you know, to build the ambiance and everything.
DJ like, Omar Khan.
A huge opportunity
for
me.
You're all about the Moroccan music.
If you know it, right? if you know nothing from me, you know I throw down the Moroccan music,
that's
right?
That's right.
So... you know, I'm playing the party, everything, you know, people are coming up to me requesting things, man, your set's great, the people who hired me are like, you're doing unbelievable, you know,
awesome.
Hopefully this is going to lead to, you know, future gigs.
Good news.
So I'm wrapping up the party, it's 3 in the morning, and I take a couple of buddies of mine just so, you know, it was in just north of San Diego, so it's a bit of a drive.
Okay.
So I wouldn't, you know, fall asleep on drive, but I was not going to drink, so I said, guys, have a blast. Okay?
You drink, I'm fine.
Exactly. Okay. You know, I'll drive home. So I'm packing up my stuff. And I'm getting down off the stage. Security comes up to me. He's all, Omar, are you Omar? And I'm like, yeah. He's all, I'm with such and such security. You need to come with me. So at this point, I'm like, oh, crap. What the hell did I do?
Yeah,
You know, I'm thinking, because
you've done a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I thought I didn't bring anything with me.
The
like,
list
did
is
he search
long
my car?
For Omar.
You know? So they're all like, we have a naked girl in the guest room screaming your name.
That happens at every party Omar goes to, by the way.
And I'm thinking, no,
this is one
way.
Of your friends?
It's my friend I brought with me.
What?
Totally.
Why
right?
was she naked in the guest room?
I have no idea.
Why was she screaming your name?
She wanted him? Oh, well, I guess, the other person that I brought, you know, was hammered too, and she was just, you know, you know,
like
talking to other people.
Or lost, or?
She was, you know, she blacked out. She was obliterated out of her head.
Oh,
she didn't know where
cool.
she was.
That was nice of them.
She was blaming security for everything.
Oh, no.
So I was trying to, you know, grab the rest of my thing. So I told my friend, you know, who wasn't really plastered. I'm like, you need to go deal with the situation before, and, you know, try to handle things.
Right.
Calm her down, and then I'll get there.
Right.
So she goes over there. I get all my stuff, and I just hear screaming when I get to the guest house, just nonstop, blah blah blah. And I'm thinking, you guys are ruining this for me. Like, what the f?
Yeah,
because
this could have been a long term, really great situation.
Absolutely right.
We're gonna take calls in a second. By the way, on your friend ruined the party.
Oh.
At 1-800-520-1067.
Right.
Because you're kind of responsible for the guests that you bring to an event. If they screw up, it reflects poorly on you.
You're vouching
That's what we're
for
talking
them.
About.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm vouching for you. You know, I wanted you guys just to have a good time. You know, I thought it was going to be a cool little, you know, little party. So I'm getting to the door and, you know, screaming, security is all like, situations being handled, you know.
To you?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You know, you could just chill out here because the other person I took was a female, too, so it was two girls, you know, trying to, you know, take care of the situation. So
did
I'm like, okay,
cup?
I'm chilling.
No. Okay. Just checking.
Hey, was Eric there?
No, he wasn't there.
He was not, okay.
So they calm her down, and then when you get to the point where you don't know what's going on, you black out, you just tend to snap.
Yeah.
Okay. So at one point, she's like, no, it was that guy.
You know, she's pointing
at the security guard, and the security guard turns over and looks at me. He's like, it happens, bro.
So he's used to it?
Everybody, the security couldn't be nicer.
They felt bad for you,
didn't they?
They
totally felt bad for me. And my friend could not be more of an ass. She was just acting like a complete bitch.
So
I was just like,
you finally got her home. Will you ever be invited back?
No.
Wow. Really? You know that?
I am disowning her as a friend.
Yeah.
And, you guys. Back to the location.
Yeah, the person that
back
threw the party.
I don't know. I think the security there was so on top of things and so professional, and they wanted to just put out the fire.
Right.
That maybe they didn't find out.
Exactly. Ah. So there is a chance, you know, that the billionaire never found out.
The security
guy.
Is Omar coming? Yeah. All right. Let's get ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's bring in extra people.
For sure. So,
You kind of left out an important part of the story, though. Your friend who got naked, was she hot at least?
No.
Okay.
No, not hot.
Okay, that's a disaster.
It's not even a plus sign.
If she was hot, I'd be in the room talking to her. I'd be like, hey, do you need anything? Let me help you out.
As it is, you're outside going, I don't know her. I don't know her.
Exactly, you know.
We are going to come back with your telephone calls toll-free. If you're listening to the show right now, you can pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-520-1067. Your story doesn't even have to involve a billionaire, a naked girl, or a camel. But we want to hear how your friend, it would be awesome. Yeah, your friend screwed things up for you. You vouched for them, and they let you down. And turned the world against you. That's what we want to talk about.
Who should cut people loose that embarrass them when they're high or drunk less than Omar?
Yeah, I'm the guy.
He's that guy 99% of the time. If he breaks up with you, you got a problem.
Totally.
All right, we'll take your calls.
And we'll be living on the run right here in the California sun.
Big B. Let me tell you something about B. Big. That is true. That is an accurate name.
Not lowercase.
Not small b. It's the world famous K-Rock, and we are the Kevin and Bean Show.
Can I give a quick shout out to my new girlfriend, Eileen, in Norway, who emailed me that she downloaded 365 Kevin and Bean podcasts so that she could take them on vacation with her. I just want to thank her for that kind of dedication. I would kill myself if I had to listen to that much Kevin and Bean, but good on you, Eileen. Thank you for that.
It's a bad call. World famous K-Rock at 9:31.
All right, we're talking about my man, Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan.
Right? Omar Khan is at a party.
The crack, dude.
Man, you got to lighten up.
I wish it were that exciting. It's just a carrot, I'm sorry to say. And yes, it really is a carrot. It's not a euphemism. All right. If you're just joining us, Omar Khan was doing a gig over the weekend. He is, of course, one of the premier DJs in Southern California.
DJ Omar Khan.
Playing a house party, yo, and his guest turned out to embarrass him. His guest turned out to end up crazy, and then security had to be called, and that kind of got us on the topic of you invite somebody to go with you to something, and you're vouching for that person, and then they somehow screw it up, and then you look bad. Those are the stories we're taking right now at 1-800-520-1067.
All right, the first person to call was Kyle. He was quick on the phone. So, Kyle, hi.
Hi.
What happened?
Hello.
You brought somebody to a party, and it went south?
Right, it was actually my birthday party last year, and my girlfriend didn't want to invite my friend, and because he drinks a little much.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no, he'll be cool.
Oh, see, now that's the worst, where somebody already doesn't want them to be there, so now you have to actively vouch.
Right.
Now you have to say, it won't go poorly, don't worry.
Trust me.
Yeah.
Well, he came over, and, you know, we're all having a good time. My girlfriend's little brother is just there, he's 14. And I'm like, okay, you know, the party's ending, you know, the cops already showed up.
Excellent. That's how you know a party started. Go ahead.
And so we're wrapping it up, and his dad just showed up, and we're getting him out the door, and right then, right as he's saying bye to my friend, he pukes all over himself. He can't even stand up.
There you go. There you go.
God.
Excellent. But he didn't throw up on anyone else.
Nope, all over himself. He was sitting down, and it didn't even land on the couch.
Wow.
That's a miracle.
That is a good throw-upper. Is that a word? All right.
It is now.
Thank you, Kyle, for the call. Awesome.
Wow.
Let's talk to Andy. He's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Seems like weddings are one of those places that a lot of people take somebody along that maybe other people at the party don't know, and that's when you really got to vouch for them. Andy, hi, you're on the air. What happened?
Hey, party people.
Hi.
Hi.
Who screwed it up?
Well, actually, ironically, he was a guy that I invited to your VDN Vegas party.
Okay.
He was the best man at my wedding. Introduces me to his new girlfriend who he met in Vegas.
Right.
We get married at this beautiful Japanese garden.
Hey.
Half-hour long wedding. Take everybody outside so we could take photos. They get to enjoy drinks and hors d'oeuvres for about 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The party comes back in, and my best man's girl is absolutely wrecked. We've got people seating these people at their table, and she just totally loses composure, grabs onto an umbrella. That drops to the floor. She's dancing erotically with no pole to music that doesn't go with the way she's dancing.
Yes.
For our wedding video.
Yes.
Then proceeds to try and steal my wife's bouquet.
Yes.
And then has to be restrained. Three of her bridesmaids would not let her. She was trying to flee the Japanese garden with my wife's bouquet. It was a total nightmare.
That's
absolutely
awesome.
Embarrassed, and he's proud to say that that's his wife now.
Oh man, really?
Wow, he married her after that.
Yeah, because she's a winner.
Thank you for the call.
Hey, check this out. Let's party total crazy.
Well, that's what's going on here, I guess. All right, we got time for one more. Who do you like?
Let's see here. Let's go to Mike. I think Mike might have a pretty good story. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's up?
Who ruined the party?
Hey, okay, so there's this chick that I've been trying to get with. It was about a month. You know,
a month?
A month.
I was in love, man. It was a commitment. I stuck to this chick.
Right.
So we get invited to her house party, right? And I said to my friend, you got to come with me, dude. She might have a big fat friend. You might have to throw up a block. You know what I'm saying?
Right, of course.
You need a good wingman in that case.
Yeah, I needed a wingman.
All right.
You know what I mean? I was Maverick. He was Goose or whatever.
We got it.
So, I'm with this chick, and she's so hammered, she's got to throw up. And she's like, I got to get to the bathroom. So I walk her to the bathroom because I'm a gentleman.
Sure.
And stuff.
That's how you roll.
And the bathroom is locked, and we're pounding on this door. I can't get into the bathroom.
Right.
So we have to go to the kitchen sink. I'm holding her hair back. I read books. I know how to treat a lady.
I read books.
So, I'm holding her hair back. She's throwing up in the sink. And as soon as this whole ordeal is over, my friend comes out of the bathroom with the girl's mom. She's like the girl's virgin.
All right, wait a minute. Your friend was in the bathroom with the girl who you were hitting on with her mom.
With her mother.
So
how do I redeem myself from something like that? How do I go back on that?
You don't, because you're pathetic, because he scored with her mom before you scored with the girl.
Yep.
That's even harder.
You're right.
I know, but really, like,
you lose.
It's because his bar's so low, man. You know,
all right.
For the Olympics, and he's got the Special Olympic thing going on.
But the ultimate goal, though, is to win a medal, and he did, and you didn't. That's what happened. It was Special Olympics, but at least he won. Man, you barely got out of the starting gate.
I didn't even get a bowling trophy. He goes home with the gold.
Well,
exactly.
You got to hold that girl's hair back, though. Did she ever date you after that?
No, but you know, at least I turned the water on and let it kind of flush down the sink.
Right, but did she date you after that?
No,
that's the important part. The answer is no. All right. You're a loser.
And they were disappointed.
That's true.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That's Blink 182. Of course, they have got the big reunion shows happening all over the country. You know, the when they play here in Southern California, it's going to be with Weezer in support. And we debuted world premiered, in fact, new Weezer music for you last night. We played it for you earlier today, so keep listening for a chance to hear that again. Boy, it's a great song. I'm so happy Weezer's back.
Yeah, fantastic.
It is a good song.
Love them so much. All right. Ralph is here with the final showbiz beat for a Tuesday. What's going on?
Remember I told you last hour about John Cleese from Monty Python fame?
Yes.
Divorcing his bitch of a wife. She took all of his money, and now she's richer than he is?
Yep.
And I mentioned to you that he took it with a grain of salt and had some funny jokes to say, but it said he's probably going to have to work 2 months out of the year at least just to pay her off each year.
Right.
Thanks to the listener who sent me the information. He's performing at the Alex Theater in Glendale in November.
Oh, that's awesome.
Part of what he's calling the Alimony Tour.
Very nice.
So I just picked up my ticket, so you might want to pick up some tickets because he's a funny dude. All right, let's talk about this internet sex tape, in quotes, that everyone's talking about. It turns out not to be really a sex tape at all. Eric Dane, who's McSteamy on Grey's Anatomy, and Rebecca Gayheart, his beautiful actress wife, and their friend, Carrie Ann Peniche, who apparently was a former Miss Teen USA and now is currently a whore.
Yes.
Or so the accusations say, that she has been a madam in a sex-for-hire business. Well, the three of them are in various states of nudity, smoking what appears to be marijuana.
Hmm.
We cannot know for sure, but Rebecca Gayheart does say at one point, I am so high! So I'm assuming it's probably marijuana. And it's footage of them being all naked, and then the two girls play dress-up and put on different costumes and stuff. It's very interesting. But there's no real sex in the video, so everyone's saying it's not a sex video. It's just three friends having fun, the way we all have fun with our friends at home.
Sure.
The girls are in the bathtub together. That's kind of sexy.
Are they going to claim that Ashley Green shot it and she's got the copyright on it, so therefore you can't publish it?
Well, the lawyers are in full sue mode. The couple's lawyer, Marty Singer, told TMZ.com that they will sue anyone who has the audacity to publish the private confidential tape.
Wow. It's too bad.
So don't go to Gawker.com and look
don't
at
go
it.
There.
Don't go there.
Okay. Mm,
all right.
That's where I saw it. It's about 12 minutes long, and there is no sex, as I mentioned. And Carrie Ann Peniche, who apparently owned the video at one point on her hard drive of her computer, says it was stolen by Mindy McCready, the country western star who was her roommate after the two completed a stint on Celebrity Rehab.
I love it.
So
that story has everything except for sex.
They are still working out the details of who to blame and who to sue. But there's your update on this reported sex tape in the world of celebrity dumb. Samantha Burke is the woman who is Jude Law's baby mama.
Okay.
Yeah.
She is a actress slash model slash stripper slash Hooters girl.
Okay, all right, she does it all.
She is a Renaissance woman that Jude Law knocked up. She wants to defend herself and let everyone know that she is not after Jude's money. She is not a gold digger. She says she's never dated a rich man in her life and doesn't even understand how her friends can ask their boyfriends to buy them clothes.
Guilty!
So she's not after Jude's money. She wants everyone to know.
All right.
Well, let's
just see.
She was just after his sperm. And Evangeline Lilly likes men with fangs.
All right.
Her boyfriend, Dominic Monaghan, of course, the two co-starred on Lost together, has made several appointments with his dentist to file down his incisor teeth because they look too much like fangs. And she keeps canceling the appointments because she says she likes the look.
Huh.
That's weird.
Yeah.
This seems like a bad time to not look like a vampire.
Right.
I mean, seriously, it'd be great for his career to keep it.
He could be in Twilight 4.
Right.
Revenge of the Tards.
Is that what it's called?
I think so.
All right.
And are you a Radiohead fan?
Sure.
Sure. New radio music on their official website was posted yesterday. The new song is called These Are My Twisted Words. It was leaked last week on the internet, but in rather lousy quality. But now you can get a beautiful, clear, crystal clear, spiffy stereo version for free at Radiohead.com.
Is it clear?
It's clear.
All right.
And Johnny Greenwood, the guitarist, has posted that the band will be doing the song live at its upcoming shows.
So do it live.
If you've got Radiohead tickets for a show in the future, you'll be hearing the song and you get a chance to hear it.
All right.
More music news. Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee apparently has been injured. He was playing around with fireworks.
Oh, that is irresponsible.
Look, you put a dummy and fireworks together, and there is bound to be bad things that happen. Just ask Kevin.
How dare you? Doesn't it seem like some things... Look, I'm no fan of the government, but some things ought to be left to the government. You know, maybe executions, maybe fireworks. Let them handle it, right?
Fireworks?
It's not the,
what are you not talking
the type of thing,
about?
It's not the type of thing that citizens ought to take on their own, is what I'm saying.
So you won't show a cop your ID, but you're willing to let the man take over all of our 4th of July fun.
The government doesn't do any fireworks. It's all private citizens.
The professionals, though, is
okay,
is,
professionals,
I guess,
is different.
With government.
All right.
Professionals.
All right. I don't think it's the type of thing that Joe Citizen should be doing himself.
I agree wholeheartedly. Or Tom Lee, for that matter.
Or Kevin Ryder.
Or Kevin Rutter, for that matter.
How dare you?
Dude, you, how many times
have dare you
almost set Malibu on fire?
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Every time I hear Malibu fires, I think of Kevin, because I'm assuming that it was a sparkler
gone
awry.
It's not just on the beach. It's been everywhere I go.
You set fires
in my
everywhere,
own defense, yes.
Anyway, Tommy burned his hand so badly he can't play drums for the next few Crew Fest 2 dates. So Morgan Rose of Seven Dust has to fill in. Even though Tommy is still showing up every night on stage with the rest of the band, he's not playing drums, so I can't imagine what he's doing.
Why show up?
Maybe he's dancing on a pole. Uh-oh, sausage. Tommy, how did it happen? How did you hurt yourself? What were you thinking?
You know, they say it, man.
What do they say?
Heavy is the head.
Right.
That lives in the fast lane. Rip. Bananas.
Rip bananas.
All right, good.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor, director, legend, Robert Redford, is 73 years old today. I have to say, one of my favorite all-time movie stars.
Absolutely.
I go back and look at old movies like The Sting and Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid and 3 Days of the Condor and The Way We Were.
Yeah.
Just a great body of work.
It's a lot of old movies.
But they're good, though. They can still be good.
Maybe.
They can still be
good. Okay, they can.
I'm just saying they can still be good. I'm just saying you might enjoy one.
Do you like anything in this century?
I love everything in this century. But I can like things in this century and something from a couple years ago. I got room for it all.
A
listener suggested recently that we do a break with Kevin where he names some stuff that he likes and see if what's left, because he seems to hate everything that everybody else likes.
See,
so what does he like?
That's not the problem. The problem is that I work with both of you two and I hate everything that you guys like. It's not everybody. It's just you two.
But you can't dismiss something just because it's not immediate, because it didn't come out last week. It still can have value.
Sure.
Have you ever seen Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
Yes.
Isn't that a great movie?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
I have seen it. It's a great movie.
See, look.
All right.
There's the bridge.
Nice.
Is that
enough for you too?
That's absolutely enough for me.
Okay.
Just goes to show you. Patrick Swayze is 57 years old today. Dennis Leary from Rescue Me is 52. Madeline Stowe turns 51. Everlast from House of Pain and his own successful career, 40 years old today, as is Christian Slater and Edward Norton. Malcolm Jamal Warner is 39 years old today.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Comedian Andy Samberg from Saturday Night Live turns 31.
I'm on a boat, picture trick. I'm on a boat, bitch. We taking Santana champ, cause it's so crisp. I got my swim trunks and my flippy floppies.
If you haven't seen that video, you got to find it. I'm on a boat. Is quite funny.
He's got his flippy floppies.
He does have this flippy floppies. That's true.
Although, find it quick, because it's in danger of being too old to be good anymore.
That's right. Kevin's
another couple of months down the road, he won't like it.
You. Kevin's already starting to not like it.
That's within the last 10 years. I'm just saying, can we keep it to any of our lifetimes?
Can't we do both?
No.
Can we have it all?
No.
Why?
Because I'm too narrow-minded for that.
All right, then.
All right.
Kevin, do you go to museums sometimes and go, oh, that painting is 400 years old. It sucks.
Kevin goes to museums sometimes.
My wife took me to the Louvre in Paris.
I remember.
One time.
Right. And you sprinted through it.
An hour, lunch, gone.
Yeah.
They told us to, to plan 3 days.
To see it.
I was out.
Kevin was just running past painting as fast as he could. Yeah, I've seen it.
All right. Tomorrow morning, we have meltdowns when you get fired. That's always fun.
Oh, yeah.
We have the healthcare debate, which seems to be a very healthy conversation that's going on right now. Working well.
All I know is you show up, if the president's giving a speech, you show up with a gun these days. That's what's happening, it seems like, every other day in this country.
And scream louder than they do.
Well, he is a Nazi.
That's not
apparently
true.
And
so.
A Marxist and a socialist. Talk
Speaking
about
of that,
a big tent.
The Pope has a new CD. We'll talk to him. And,
that's fantastic.
Skateboarder Danny Way.
Way?
No way.
Is going to come in and talk about the X.
Way.
I hate you
way.
Orale way.
Talk about X Games 3D, the movie that is tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including that new one from Weezer we were just talking about. It is called I Want You To. Also some Kings of Leon, Linkin Park, Foo Fighters, and more next on K-Rock.
No way.